I'd like to call the June 10th, 2010, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Brown is out.
Here.
Mr. Bourne is not here. Dr. Barrett?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And we have Mr. Kramer here in place of Mr. Stevens today.
Welcome, Mr. Kramer.
Thanks.
And Mr. Jones is not here. I apologize.
Can all the members of city staff who are going to testify please come forward this morning?
Do you promise by the testimony you're about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All members of the board have the opportunity to review the minutes for the May 13, 2010 meeting. Are there any questions or amendments? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Is there any member of the board who would like to disclose any ex parte communications or any respondent, any party to a case? Okay, thanks. Is there any member of council in the audience who would like to come forward? It's going to be a representative respondent. Is there any member of council that's representing any respondent? Okay.
There is one for the lien review. I think he's outside of this
time. Thanks, Peter. Okay, we'll move forward then with lien review number one, which is case number CEB09-09163. That's 535 Brentwood Drive. Samuel Merrill. New owner is Carl Woods. Morning, John.
Good morning. Here we go.
Sam Merrill. I do.
What can you tell us about it, John?
This is a lien review. This case was opened in April of 2009. It was closed last month. The case was for outside storage of junk and debris. And Mr. Merrill has sold the property since the initial violation, and he accrued this lien during that time. And that's why we're here.
What was the date of sale, John?
I don't have that answer.
I can ask Mr. Merrill. Would you like to come forward, Mr. Merrill?
Yes, sir.
Is the date of sale or deed transfer, is that July 31st or July 3rd or July 30th?
It's July 31st, Mr. Chairman, of 2009.
Okay. What would you like to say?
Well, this was a situation where we were obviously apprised of the violation. This is an investment property. We had a tenant in that location who has since bought the property from the folks that I had deeded the property to. We had been working with the tenant once we had been notified of the violation to have him rectify the problem. He was fairly unresponsive up until the point we actually transferred ownership to the new owner, the lender, if you will. And upon that transfer, we notified the lender that there was a violation that was in place and that they would be responsible for ensuring that the tenant rectify the problem, and that they would need to be dealing with the city, of course, to advise them as to when there was a reinspection that would be appropriate. And I was unaware that there had been a lien placed on the property in my name until such time as on some other properties I became aware that that lien had been applied to other interests that we had, other assets that we had. So upon that discovery, I, of course, talked to city staff and became aware of this accruing lien since October of 2009, and immediately set upon to notify the lender that I had deeded it to, and then started working directly again with the tenant. And he, too, was then advised of the violation in his name. And we eventually got it so that the reinspection occurred, and it was found in compliance. So the bottom line, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, is that I had deeded this in July of 2009 by way of quitclaim. The lien was applied in October of 2009, and I was eventually able to get it rectified, but I certainly don't think that I should be responsible for the substantial lien that's been attached to this property and all my other properties.
You're not the current owner of the property?
No, sir. I was not the owner as of July of 2009.
The lien goes with the property, so it should be the current owner that has the lien.
I agree.
Is that right, Mr. Jackson? Did it wake you up?
The lien is attached both to the person as well as to the property, so...
The lien goes with the property, so the current owner is the one the lien's against, right?
That's correct.
But not the former owner.
It also names the violator, who at the time would have been named as the respondent in the case. So the lien normally names the respondent as well as the property, so that is the general lien. So it goes against all property owned by the respondent as well as the property where the lien arose.
But once the property's changed hands... The lien goes. I don't think we've ever held a previous owner. Once the property has changed hands, the lien goes to the new owner.
That's within your authority to do. That's, you know, it's a matter of law. Once the lien is imposed, it's imposed against the violator. But I mean, if y'all want to release that aspect of the lien, that's out of the trouble.
Was the lien imposed before he deeded it out?
Yes, wasn't it?
No.
No, the lien was actually imposed after he deeded it.
How could it affect him?
Because when the case came before you, you had no knowledge that it was deeded away, so he was the respondent shown on the lien. He's the respondent that was shown on the case. So when the lien was imposed, against he as the respondent as well as the property, which is what you've done in every case.
Mr. Jackson, are you saying that in 731 he deeded the property over?
That's correct.
But it wasn't recorded until, what was it, October?
In fact, the case did not even initiate until it appears August 18th. So the case didn't initiate until after he had already deeded the property. However, the knowledge that you had at the time when you heard the case was that he was the owner, and you never had any new knowledge. And the knowledge you had at the time that you imposed the order was that he was still the owner, or he was the respondent in the case. So your order always names your respondent and the property where the lien was imposed.
But in fact, he was not the property owner at the time, so we were in error.
Our order was erroneous.
Okay.
I don't think he's responsible.
I say that's why he's here, for your opportunity to fix it.
Yeah, I don't see the problem. It's not his responsibility, it's the new owner's responsibility.
Now that we heard the whole story, this is why he's before you, so that you have the opportunity to fix it.
The lien is still there, but it's against the property and the current owner.
Right. So what you have the
ability... I don't think that Mr. Merrill has any responsibility.
That's fine. What you have the ability to do now, or the authority to do, is to... release the lien as to, or waive the lien as to the owner. And if you want to leave it as to the property, you can do that, or you can waive it in full. It's up to you guys.
Well, I have a question first. Mr. Merrill, you said that you were still working with either the owner or the tenant. What is your relationship to either the owner or the tenant or the property at this particular time?
Mr. Chair, I really don't have any relationship. I only reconnected with the tenant in an effort to clear this lien on my other properties. As Tony had said, it was a general lien, so other properties that I own are being attached as well. So I had no relationship with him since July until I became aware of this lien.
Tony, do we have the right to relieve Mr. Merrill of any personal responsibility for that lien?
Absolutely.
Or remove the lien as far as he or his properties are concerned?
Absolutely. Yes.
And retain the lien against the existing owner and new property?
You absolutely do.
That's what we must do.
I have a question before we take any action. I'd like to ask Mr. Merrill another question. And I don't know if it has any bearing on this particular case, Mr. Merrill, but did you disclose to the new owner that there was a lien on the property?
I did.
No. Well, actually, no, you wouldn't have, because you would have transferred before the actual lien. So
I advised him, just to be clear, I advised him that there was a violation and that there was still a need to rectify the violation and bring it into compliance.
Okay. But we hadn't imposed the lien when you transferred, so you had no way to tell him.
Yes, sir.
That's why I retracted my question.
I mean, just for some clarification, and I think that this was something that may have made a difference. And Mr. Murphy, correct? I'm not sure. I'm trying to see. It appears that the deed was not recorded until, October?
I know the property appraiser's page indicates it's effective July. I don't know when it was absolutely recorded.
Someone recorded deed of 10/16/2009.
Could have been, yeah. The new owner was responsible for recording that, but I know we signed it on the 31st of July.
Well, when it come before you guys, you would not have recognized the transfer because you would not have had any notice
official
of
transfer.
Our,
The 10/16 deed is the deed from...
The wrong deed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the deed from the mortgage company
to the
tenant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the recorded date was. The only reason I bring that out is, as the inspector pointed out to me on in September, he had some contact with Mr. Merrill. Merrill had informed him he no longer owned the property. However, there was no record that was showing that at that time.
What's the name of the new owner?
Carl Woods.
Woods?
Yes, sir.
It's on one of the documents. Tony, I'm asking about that particular 10/16 date. Are you looking at the date stamp for the clerk of court?
No, I was looking at the warranty deed that was in here, but without
the date,
for
13 October.
Framer, that appears to have been representing a different transfer. I guess a subsequent transfer of the...
Yeah, in fact, just to clarify that, Tony, in all fairness, the lender actually then was able to consummate a sale to the tenant so that it stayed within the three individuals that were involved. I deeded it to the lender. The lender then sold it by some instrument,
Tony,
to Mr. Woods.
Yes.
You ready for a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion if we remove Mr. Merrill as a respondent responsible for the lien, that the lien stay in place against the property, and Mr. Carl Woods, the current owner, that lien stay in place, but that Mr. Merrill be released from the any responsibility for the lien.
And just for some clarification, Mr. Carl Woods as person is not named. He was not made a party.
Should we not name him now since he is a current owner?
Not after the fact, not in this circumstance. He will be affected as the owner of that property because the lien will now be specifically against that property.
Okay.
But nothing else. But his it won't have the general effect of attaching all the this group.
That loses a little bit of our teeth, but that takes some of the bite out of what we're doing because, like in Mr. Merrill's case, it would affect any of Mr. Wood's other properties if he has such other properties. But if that's what you say we have to do, Mr. Jackson, I'll buy that.
Yeah, at this point, what we have is that this person, in essence, adopted at this point... He's in a position of having to deal with the...
All right, then the motion is that we release Mr. Merrill from any responsibility for this lien and that the lien stay in place against the property. Whatever the address is.
We don't have a lien review about the new owner, so all we're doing is releasing Mr. Merrill, it appears.
That's right. But we don't want to release the lien. We just want to release Mr. Merrill from that lien.
I think Mr. Woods should be advised that he hasn't been advised already that this lien is still there, and I feel sure there was some consideration given to him
when he bought the property
by a lender at the time of the sale.
Well,
that could be taken care of.
Any clarification for me and then to the board as well? Mr. Woods is the current...
Yes, sir. As far as I know, and I only know that by the...
Right, by the last transaction you were aware of.
That I'm aware of on the property appraiser's record.
It looks like according to the county appraiser's office record dated 5/24/2010, at least that was a print date, Carl Wood is actually named now as the owner.
Okay, and some clarification, what I just, the inspector just informed me is that he has since received a violation on the property, I guess, for the same circumstance, Mr. Wood. So I don't know if it's been before the board yet. I don't know if it's been remedied with the staff, but I think they're dealing with Mr. Wood as the owner. Is that correct, though?
That's correct. He has been violated for actually the same violation.
Okay, but he may not be aware of the fact that there's a lien in the amount of $32,000 against his property. So in relieving Mr. Merrill, we need to notify Mr. Woods that he has an effective lien against the property of $32,893.
I think as a board we can notify him. Amy, you would probably take care of that. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it has not. We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second? And a second by Mr. Borens. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Amy, could you read the motion?
I believe the motion is to remove Mr. and release Mr. Merrill from the lien as to the that it shall remain against the property.
And Mr. Woods shall be notified, the current owner. The current owner shall be notified of the existing lien.
I believe by releasing you, that releases the lien as to any of your other properties.
I believe that's true.
I'll make sure that release takes that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Lien review number two is CEB 09-97113, PIP 1656 Morgan Circle. Shirley Shabazz is the respondent here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Shabazz, would you please raise your right hand and be sworn?
Shirley Rogers Shabazz.
Yeah, you're well.
Yes.
Steve Robinson, counsel for Ms. Shabazz.
Before we move forward, can I ask our members of the audience to make sure that your cell phones are either on vibrate or turned off? And when you approach the podium, please speak directly into the mic. Thank you. Vicki, what can you tell us about it?
I'd like to combine the two lien reviews. They're both same property, same issue. This case has been going on since 97, so we're talking about 13 years until we get to this point. The city agrees that the combined amount of these two liens is excessive, and we have spent a considerable amount of time, effort, staff, to bring these into compliance, which they are now, taking everything into consideration, the amount of time, the cooperation that we did or did not receive, and in a lot of cases we did not receive much. We would consider reducing the fine to on both for both the total to $25,000.
How much?
$25,000.
One's $137,000 and the other one is
I see $2,764. Is that not correct?
The combined is just, I think, short of half a million, and that's just...
Yeah, one's $319,000, the other's $137,000, so that's about $500,000.
$589,000.
You want to reduce it to $25,000?
That's correct.
Do you have an opinion about that, Mr. Robinson or Mr. Bass?
Yes. We would like to address you. Obviously, the lien is something that did spiral out of control for Ms. Shabazz, but there have been a number of hardships that I think she would like to address with you that has created this problem for her. It resulted from a problem with a swimming pool being a nuisance, quite frankly, and we agree with that. There were several issues, though. Ms. Shabazz was living in Washington, D.C. for period of time, and she was not getting notice of this particular problem from the tenant that was residing in the residence. So obviously she should have known about it, but she didn't. She just didn't know. She had no notice of that. And then when she returned to Florida in 2000, she did get notice while she was living in Lakeland. I believe she apprised the panel when she found out, gave them an address in Lakeland where they could get in touch with her. She was caring for a mother down in Lakeland, Florida. Her mother has since died. And obviously, again, this is a nuisance, and it is a problem that should have been taken care of. But I think at that time, the issues with Ms. Shabazz's mother, I think they took a precedent over the issue that was going on with the house. And even though she should have known how important this was, she didn't. And she obviously apologized for any neglect that she is guilty of. And she would ask this board for some consideration and lower the lien of $25,000 for another reason. She is a stroke survivor, and I believe she would testify to you that she's currently receiving a disability benefit of about $1,000. She has no significant property to satisfy this lien, and she understands the importance of keeping this property in compliance. She lives in this property currently, so it's not a rental property. This is her residence.
Mr. Robinson, is this property... Well, I just have a question. It may seem very personal, but what if something tragic were to happen to Ms. Shabazz, what would happen to the property?
Ms. Shabazz.
And I'll explain why I asked that question in just a moment.
Mr. Stevens, I have no idea what would happen to the property. I have no will.
I should have asked more specifically, do you have any family members that the property may be transferred to after... Maybe
I have three daughters who are grown. They live in different cities.
Do you understand why now I'm asking the question?
Yes,
Mr.
sir.
Robinson.
Amy, do you have any evidence of receipt of notification of the meetings, the violations, the time we imposed the lien, the fine?
I went back in the records and I looked through some information, and we have records that in 2000 Ms. Shabazz talked with the head of code enforcement at that time, and that she indicated then that she drained the pool. That was August 28th of 2000.
The thing that bothers me about this one is that not only was it a contaminated pool, but it did not have a fence around it. It was a broken fence. And at that time, I was on the board at that time, we were very concerned about safety issues, neighborhood children. In fact, I believe at that time there were children living in the property, and there was a contaminated pool and no fence around the pool, and we were very concerned. In fact, I think, as I recall, that we actually authorized the city or requested the city to take appropriate action to secure the fence if the respondent didn't. And we got very little cooperation from the respondent at that time. And my recollection is a little bit shaky, since that was 80-some years ago, that the respondent was notified either verbally or in writing. And that's why I asked Amy, does she have any receipt of certified mail or anything like that?
Ms. Shabazz, go ahead, Ms.
How long have you been living in the house?
Probably 35 years, off and on.
How long have you, since you came back? How long have you been living in?
About 8 years. It was after my mother passed.
Okay. So you've been in this.
At this time of the violation, it was rental property, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you attempt to notify the county appraiser's office, Ms. Shabazz, as to your address change and provide them with a location where they might be able to provide you mailing for taxes and those types of things?
No, sir.
How did you receive notice of your taxes?
They went to the 1656 Morgan Circle address.
Did your tenant forward those to you?
Some of them I got when I got back. The taxes were delinquent for about 3 years. I caught those up on last year.
Okay. So in the 13 years, is that the only period of time where your taxes were delinquent?
Yes, sir.
So would we assume then either you, I guess, paid the taxes timely, or you somehow you received notice?
I paid the taxes, and I received some notices. And in terms of the fence, I believe that was the first time I got notification about the property. I did drain the pool, and a fence was put up.
And Mr. Stevens, we're not alleging that she received no notice at all.
Right.
We do show that she did receive notice in 2000. But in 2000, after she returned to the state of Florida, she was living in Polk County. That's when she was caring for her mother. From the inception of the lien in 1998, I believe, that is when there was an issue of notice. But when she returned to the state, it's my understanding that she did receive notice, provided an address in Lakeland, Florida, and notification was forwarded to her there.
Yeah, I did notice the address in Lakeland a couple of times. What I was basically trying to establish, Mr. Robbins, was whether or not there was some way that Ms. Shabazz would have been notified of things that may have been occurring with the property.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robbins, and I also asked her how long had now she lived in Polk County. She told me she's been living in the house for 8 years. She went over there every day back and forth?
No, I believe she returned here in 2003. Is it, Ms. Shabazz?
I believe it was about 8 years ago. I don't remember exactly. But I was in Washington. My mother was gravely ill. I left Washington, resigned to go and take care of her. She lived some years. And after she passed, I decided that I needed to move back into the house in Daytona.
Do you remember who a Patricia Hubbard is?
Patricia Hubbard was the girlfriend of the tenant who was renting the house.
She had been taking some action to rectify the situation.
Mr. Chair, if I could be heard.
Yeah. Sure.
There were, as you know, we're dealing with two different series of liens. A lien was imposed back in 97, 98, or at least that's when the case was initiated back in 97. Mm-hmm. And then again, another case was initiated in 2000. Because of the accrual of the liens in a long period of time, somewhere around about 2004, this Ms. Shabazz case was one of the cases that was ultimately selected for foreclosure, and was on our foreclosure list. And at least from the period of 2004 forward, I know that just for clarification, I don't think Mr. Robinson or anyone was trying to hide this or mislead in any way, but I don't think you're realizing this. But we were in contact, and we were trying to see what we can do about resolving the foreclosure matter on the liens as a whole and the whole lien package. So, you know, I don't know in full what was going on prior to 2004, or not from 2004 forward, that Ms. Shabazz was made aware Mr. Robinson was working for her benefit to try and resolve it. Ultimately, we did not get the remedy sought, but we realized that the lien would still be an active lien, and someday we'll be at this point trying to resolve it for the magic before forward.
Okay. I appreciate that, Tony. I was just looking at a letter that's dated December 13, 2000 from Mrs. Shabazz, where she did forward this letter to the Code Enforcement Board. So there was even some contact again in 2000. Staff has recommended that we reduce the lien to total for both liens, Mr. Robbins, to $25,000. What's your opinion?
Your Honor, obviously with Mrs. Shabazz's current condition, I would ask this panel to consider reducing that as much as possible. I think that a lien in the amount of $2,500 would even be fair, considering her economic position. You've certainly gotten her attention, and I don't believe this is an issue that you will experience again. She's owned the house for approximately 30 years. She's living in the property right now. She's paid taxes in this community. She's worked here. And again, but for a series of unfortunate events, I don't think this would have ever been a problem. So you have gotten her attention. She's had to go forward and make personal expenses to hire an attorney, make personal expenses to rectify this problem. And again, we're not here to try to minimize this at all. We understand that it's important. We understand that a swimming pool without a fence around it or it's not keeping being properly maintenance can be a significant nuisance, if not a danger, to a community. So again, you have gotten her attention, and this won't happen again.
I have a comment. Mr. Robinson, you heard city staff state that she believes a fair amount, again, is $25,000 and over a period of 13 years. Ms. Langford notes also that, you know, there has been time involved with staff and effort, which cost the city. And I would imagine that, just guessing, that that amount of time over a period of 13 years, considering salaries and effort and all those types of things, would exceed the amount of $2,500.
It certainly may, sir.
I would like to ask a question of either Mr. Kramer or Mr. Jackson. If we were to take Ms. Langford's advice and attach the lien of $25,000 to the property, making it payable maybe during a probate situation or whatever the case may be, if something occurs and to Mrs. Shabazz's demise, whereby there's no interest accumulation, can that be done? Can we attach the lien to the property in case the property is transferred to maybe another owner, to a family member, or sold prior to death?
Can we do a stipulation that I assume she does not going to pay a lump sum?
She doesn't have the resources to do that. You are correct.
That she would pay so much a month for so many months, and if she defaults on the payment, then we would.
With the stipulation, we can do many things with the stipulation. One of the things we recognize, with not specifically with this case, but in bringing some of these larger liens forward, is that we would have circumstances where we would be reducing them, but the amount would still be so large that someone can't do it in a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we've done to remedy that is, or to address that type of circumstances, to just impose the lien and let the lien run its life. That's one aspect of that, though, is that what does that mean when we say run its life? You know, where do we start counting in, and do we have a limitation period, or is it, you know, unending that? And whether we do that, or because we're granting this relief, instead do we do some type of stipulation that guarantees us that somehow, some way, that this can be remedied? And so that's the thing, I guess. What you're suggesting may mean that there's some aspect of assuring an ultimate remedy, if that's what the board desires.
Well, based on that, Mr. Jackson, I have a question. Mr. Robinson, then. Mr. Robinson, do you feel if there's any amount that Mrs. Shabazz can pay if we impose a stipulation? Is there an amount that's affordable for her? Because we're not trying to create a hardship for her, but we would like to have the city recover some of the monies that have been expended for this case.
If I can just say this, understand as well that this is a case where staff had asked the city to go for on foreclosure, and ultimately, understanding the hardships that Ms. Spence had been dealing with, we ultimately did not proceed with the foreclosure. We had a lot of bumps along the road, but ultimately we understood the overwhelming hardships and didn't feel that would be best remedy in a court of law, and that's what brought us back to waiting until the day that we came here for a meeting. So in one sense, yes, there was a good expenditure that came out of us pursuing this due foreclosure and ultimately getting a remedy. And secondly, understanding that a lot of this was in lieu of the city taking an action and ultimately have the right to possibly take the property to full.
Okay.
We have a $500,000 lien here. $500,000. We normally, in the past, when we reduced it like that for big ones, we've considered 10%, which would be $50,000. Staff has already recommended we cut that in half to $25,000. This was a very grievous, I remember this case, and it was very grievous. We got very little cooperation from the respondent. And that pool stood there for quite a while with no fence around it. We were very concerned about it. I recognize it may be a hardship, but the staff has spent a lot of money and a lot of time, which involves a lot of our time. And I don't see any way we should reduce this below $25,000.
Well, she did say at that time to Mr. Bannerman that she was not notified back during that time.
She was, though. We have letters from her where she
as
was notified.
Year.
And
I was looking for them. I didn't find them.
There's
as
a letter
what year?
Lien number three.
Lien number three, there's a letter in 2000. That's 10 years ago.
Okay.
What I was thinking, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Kramer, was we maybe set up some type of payment whereby Mr. Shabazz can make regular payments, possibly on a monthly basis, and whatever balance is left over remains based on those payments over a period of time, that amount would be attached to the property, will remain attached to the property and paid at the time of transfer upon her death or with the estate, settled with the estate. That was my thought, but it would be up to the board, of course.
You asked the question, we never got to the answer as to whether she could pay a monthly.
And that's what I think creates the hardship for Mr. Bass. I believe she would testify that she has a disability income of about $1,000 per month.
She has no other income or other property?
Not that I know of, sir.
No, sir. May I comment?
There's still a mortgage on the property.
There's not a mortgage on. It was my goal to pay the property off because I took pride in home ownership. I am 62 years old, and my not responding was not because I was a non-cooperative person. When I was forced to leave Daytona to go to Washington to work, I lost a job. I became desperate to provide for my daughters. I did get some correspondence, but because it was so long ago, I don't remember what I received and what I didn't receive. Because my ignorance of the code enforcement procedure, I didn't know that it would end up with this. But my not complying was not because I had a non-cooperative spirit. I lived in this community. I worked hard to improve this community. But when the first situation happened, I lost the job. I moved away. When my mother took ill, I moved to take care of her. I'm not a non-cooperative person. I had a recent code violation, and if your records were reviewed, you would see that I complied with that. As a matter of fact, I had so much pressure on me, I believe it provoked the stroke. I'm a very cooperative person. In terms of a letter that I may have sent in 2000, I have no recollection of that. I would like to see that letter and see what it's.
You wanted a copy of two, Mr. Robbins. Mm-hmm.
Lien review three.
And I certainly don't want to mislead you if you're thinking that.
Here it is.
What I was saying to you is that in 1998, we had no notice of this lien. Ms. Shabazz did receive notice in 2000. That was my statement to you. We did receive notice. If you you look at your records, you will see that there's correspondence between yourselves and Ms. Shabazz in Lakeland, Florida. And she returned, and that's where she went to care for her mother.
Could she handle $5,000 a year?
I would have to let Ms. Shabazz answer that question.
We did like $25,000 pay and $5,000 a year for 5 years.
Well, that's over $400 a month.
That's over half of my income, sir, and I do still have bills. As a result of this lien being placed on the property, it has prevented me from even being able to get credit. So everything I get, I have to pay cash, but I have water bill, I have electric bill.
Of course, we could let the lien just stay against the property and you don't have to pay anyone, suspend interest and just let it stay the way it is until you dispose of the property, at which time the new owner would be responsible for it. We're coming back for a lien review.
And the city would be amenable to that.
Excuse me?
The city would be amenable to that.
That was my thought as well.
I don't mean reducing it. I mean keeping it at the $500,000.
Well, the value
the property is not
the value of
the
property.
Yeah, that's what the lien is. and just let it ride, and then when the new owner of the property gets it, then come to us and go have another lien.
Say that again, Mr. Bannerman. I didn't understand.
Dr. Bannerman is proposing he's proposing that we allow the lien to stay at the current amount. I think it's close to $500,000.
And stop accruing interest
and place that against the property, so that when the Mrs. Shabazz passes away, it's a lien against the estate.
Or if she tries to sell the property.
Or if she tries to sell it. But my opinion is that the $500,000 exceeds the value of the property. My opinion is to maybe, hear Vicki in this particular case and place the $25,000 against the property. I was going to recommend that maybe Mrs. Shabazz pay $100 a month, and whatever balance remains on the property, then that's payable upon transfer of the... to another party or upon her death, it still remains on the property, but the city would recover the remaining balance at that particular time. That's a suggestion I would have made.
Yeah. That's $20 a year, 20 years to pay that off.
Well, at least it's paid for.
Yeah.
And the city would be recovering something.
And Mr. Bannerman, we understand that a lien is to create some kind of corrective measure. We understand that, and we're not arguing about that. But at the level that lien is right now, it is excessive for Mrs. Shabazz to even consider and attempting to pay for this. Now, this is a property that she purchased, that she's paid the mortgage on for approximately 30 years, that she's satisfied. It would be excessive for her heirs to have to tackle the $500,000 lien.
I wouldn't say they would. They would come back at that time with a lien review and ask for a reduction.
Yeah.
And I'd certainly agree to something lower than the $500,000. That's probably something closer to the appraised value of the property.
Well, let me
just let it run without interest until such time as the property is disposed of.
Aren't we going to settle the lien review now, so would they have the opportunity to come back again? Wouldn't that be up to the board at that particular time?
Sure, and I just want to remind the board as a whole that something that legal has recognized, and we even anticipated coming up in our upcoming workshop, is this whole aspect of these things accruing to a point where they are excessive, and the need for these liens that have accrued to such a high amount to come in and get remedied by the board. So it's our desire, one, to get a remedy that brings this lien into a realm of reasonableness. And also, it's important to us that whatever we do creates a responsibility to ultimately, one, get the lien resolved, but also leave us with an open option, an open right to pursue the lien through foreclosure if necessary, or whatever we have to do to hopefully improve the lien. And so we just want to make sure that all of that is still left open. So we want to create a reasonable amount of reduction, an opportunity to remedy that, leaving us still with the right to have to...
What's the appraised value of the property now, do you know?
That's what I was just looking for.
What's the appraised value?
I do not know.
And I want to recognize that the county's value may be one thing, but the market value may be totally different. What's the just value on that, Vicki? Oh,
nine. It wasn't at that time.
Yeah, it wasn't at all.
The taxable value was
143.5. 143.5.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, may not.
May I throw out a suggestion?
Sure.
I think there's a simple way to dispose of this at the $25,000 figure. I think a reverse mortgage would give her at least the $25,000 and dispose of it completely. If she's assessed at this point, even in this horrible market, in excess of $100,000, she could obtain a reverse mortgage
And I just said one thing about the 09 that was with the pool no longer exists. It's been filled in, so we've got that to look at. We've got the dropping market, so.
It's still over 100,000.
Still in that.
Not necessarily. Because there are brand new homes out there now. I know that because of my profession. And there are new homes that are selling for less than $50,000 now. Three bedrooms, two baths in the same community. So that doesn't, again, the market value doesn't reflect what is on the appraised value, which would have been last year. So that's not exactly true.
Is that homesteaded? The property homesteaded?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't homesteaded when you rented it, though. Don't answer that question.
It was.
Don't answer.
I had to pay a penalty for that, sir.
What?
I paid a penalty for that. I didn't realize that I was supposed to let them know that I was in Washington, but I paid all of the debt associated with that.
Tony, about my suggestion of maybe $100 a month and placing the lien on the let it remain on the property and maybe the city recovers any remaining balance, how does the city feel about that?
I think that's a great suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable suggestion.
And would the city be allowed to still foreclose if necessary?
It creates an obligation that she would be required to fulfill, whether she's able to or not. Mm-hmm. The mayor's group for
$100 a month and it's in total what I have to pay.
I don't know if we can contract away the limitation periods for just, I don't know if any of the attorneys are going to do. But, you know, we're talking 20 years, I believe, will be a period of, because it's still going to be a judgment against the property ultimately. And I think that there is a limitation period for the ultimate collection, unless we just contract that away.
If you do that and then they did not pay and the city wanted to foreclose, they'd only be foreclosing against the remainder of a $25,000 lien, right?
That's correct. Which is for our circle. Well,
depends what we agree to if we did stipulation. Yeah. We could say she pays $100 a month for 20 years, if she defaults by more than 60 days, and we have the right to foreclose
back the original amount.
And with that in mind, would we also be able to say that the lien remains in place? Well, the $25,000 still would be recoverable, I guess.
Yeah.
And that would take care of that.
The lien remains for the length of the stipulation, which would be approximately.
Would you agree to waive the interest on the $25,000?
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, $100 a month won't pay the interest.
Yes.
$500,000.
No, $25,000.
Yeah, but you're going to keep the original
amount, right? I assume you were talking $25,000.
Yeah, we are
$25,000.
Yes, Mr. I was thinking too, if we put it, as you said, with $100 a month, with paying it down some, it's possible she can then get a mortgage to pay the complete thing off. Without it.
And at $100 a month over a period of 20 years, you're right at $24,000, so we're close anyway.
That's with no interest, yeah.
Right.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect?
So
move. We have to, let me state the motion then.
That the.
Hold on a minute, Ms. Hyde. Or would you like to state the motion?
I did. Okay.
For the record.
I'll state it.
For the record.
I move that the client pays $100 a month for 20 years or whatever time we stipulate, and I believe it will be 20 years, and at any time she can pay the balance off.
And if she defaults for more than 60 days?
Yes, and if there's a delinquent for more than 60 days, you forfeit the right of the.
Don't we first have to make a motion to reduce the fine to 25?
Well, she's going to include that as well. Okay.
Yes.
She's reduced.
It is.
I'm assuming Ms. Hines is saying that the fine will be reduced to $25,000.
Right.
May I ask a question before you vote on that?
Sure.
I'm 62 years old. If that stretches out to 22, for 20 years, I'll be 82 years old.
I'm 83.
And I will die not being a homeowner.
No. No, how you forget that? No, you won't die without being a homeowner.
The lien is going to remain against the property. We're not taking the property.
Right.
Unless you, for some reason, default over a period of 60, more than 60 days, then the city has the right to foreclose. But I don't think I would assume the city may not try to do that unless it's some type of egregious situation that might force them to do that. But that's not what they're trying to do.
Although, if there's a lien on the property, how can I get it?
The lien is there already.
I understand, and I understand the hardships. It's cost. It's reflective negatively on my credit report. It would seem if I wanted to borrow the money to pay it off, that I can't do that.
There's ways you can.
Yes.
There's ways. You have to get with us, and they should go to the board meeting and those types of things, and we'll have to consider whether we can do it, but there's ways. It's not something I can't do.
She may even be able to obtain a conventional mortgage.
That's right.
She definitely can obtain a reverse mortgage. She'll get rid of that lien immediately.
And quite honestly,
we don't do reverse mortgage.
Post-recession, inflation, who knows what will be.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions by members of the board? Question or any discussion?
Can we just review it one more time,
sure,
just to make sure I have it correctly?
Sure.
That the lien is going to be reduced to $25,000.
Correct.
No.
Interest is suspended.
Mm-hmm. And
she is
to pay beginning what day?
Ms. Himes?
60 days. You could set it up 60 days from the day you have to pay the $100.
Okay, that would be.
So
it's
60 days from
today.
Is that for both incidents?
Yes.
Or would you be amenable to saying maybe beginning and maybe August 1st or August 5th, Ms. Himes?
Mm-hmm.
Beginning August 5th, 2010?
Yeah. We consider
that. Is that fair, Mr. Robinson?
Yes, sir, that is. Just for a point of clarification, how does she initiate the payment? Will you just bill her in the regular course of the billing system, or is she no coupon book or anything like that? Is she obligated to just come down and make the payment?
Well, she would just make a payment to the city, wouldn't she, Tony? To the cashier's office?
Well, then what she's doing?
I guess we would have to create, maybe we can give her a stack of invoices, perhaps, and she can bring those invoices, fill out and to be paying at the
Again, we have a motion and second.
My feeling is still that the city is subsidizing this thing to go on and on and on ad infinitum.
Mr. Barnes, speaking to the mic. Is it on?
Yes.
It's on. I think the lien can be paid off within the next few months without having to go on and on. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with that, Mr. Barnes. I believe if Mrs. Shabazz has that opportunity to secure the loan,
sure
she probably will. So I agree with you 100%. It may be possible. I don't know her personal economic or financial situation, but I'm pretty sure, and especially with Mr. Robinson's assistance, if she has the opportunity to do that, I'm pretty sure she will.
I think we ought to insist on it.
I don't know if we can do that. I think it'll be fair just to allow her to.
Within 6 months, she could pay off the whole thing.
Give her 90 days to pay it off, or
sure,
20 days if necessary. But I think it ought to be paid off.
We do have a motion, though.
We might as well vote on it. We seem to have three votes against it, and then have a new motion.
Amy.
The only thing I just needed clarification on was it's $100 per month for 20 years, beginning August 1st, 2010, and it's
August 5th.
I'm sorry?
August 5th. That will allow her a few days. I don't know if she receives her payment on the 1st or the 3rd.
Okay.
So I figured the 5th would be more amenable.
There's no payment for more than 60 days, so she defaults after 60 days, then
City has the opportunity to foreclose.
The city has the opportunity to foreclose.
And that needs to be paid. Okay.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
I would like to say we don't know anyone's circumstance. And I think if she falters on this, then that would be the opportunity. I also don't think that the responsibility, I do agree with him, should be on the city. I think that Mrs. Chavez can, without Amy having to give copies, I think that she can pay the $100 a month, and the evidence would have to rely on you with your check statement and keep records of your payments. I don't think, you know, we should have to do that because, as she said, we already have a fee incurred here that we're sort of waiving. And you know that it's $100 every month. And you know that within 60 days, if you don't pay it, the city has the right to foreclose. And I think this is taken in the hardship and not, I don't like saying what a person can do because you don't know their circumstance.
Just one other thing, something that just was left out of consideration and it's really addressing the concerns we just raised, and that's that in addition to this whole opportunity, now that hearing is stated, it's a lot clearer to me, but this opportunity for foreclose, if she defaults after 60 days, we should have a right to demand full payment upon any transfer of the property.
Yes, okay. That's what I wanted as well, yes.
That's good.
Would you like to include that as well, Ms. Ryan?
Yes, I will include that if you fault in 60 days, the city have a right to demand full payment. Mm-hmm.
And or
upon
transfer of ownership or upon Ms. Shabazz's death.
Okay, or upon the death of Ms. Shabazz.
Wouldn't the lien operate in that regard?
Already sale.
Automatically, wouldn't the lien operate in that regard? I mean, it's attaching the property from being...
Exactly. That's why I want to have a right to terminate, make a demand at that time. I don't want it to continue and things like that.
Or well, we know of...
I want the next 15 years to deal with whoever's the next person in line and then the next person in line and all of that. I don't think we should have to be in that position.
Right, right.
Or with the sale of it, it terminates
or if the sale or transfer or anything like that.
Do you agree with that, Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
You made the second?
Yes, I think that's a vital addition.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Okay, we have a roll call vote, Amy.
Mr. Hunt? Yes. Mr. Bourne?
No.
Dr. Mammon?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Stephen.
Yes.
Motion passes
3.
Doesn't require a supermajority.
No.
This is the minimum.
Does it?
Minimum quorum, does it require a supermajority?
I've always said it did, but that's really something that's probably going to ask for our board attorney.
I thought a lien review required a supermajority.
Oh, good. And
your money today.
Okay, just so you can know my point. My thought in going back with Robert's rules is really a reconsideration of a previous order, or because we have an order, we have something in place, and now we're going back and resetting or changing the prior order of the board. And so as a reconsideration, I believe that Robert would command a supermajority to amend or modify that order. And so that's why I always said that a lien review was required as a supermajority.
It is amending a previous order. So I agree with him on that.
I would assume then the motion fails.
If that's what the position of the... Yes, I would agree that most of it is. Okay. I guess we'll have to figure out what we fix it or.
I'd like to ask the two opposing parties, what do you feel you all feel would be fair, a fair remedy in this particular situation?
You want to address it?
I'll let you do it.
I think that there is going to be an opportunity for the respondent to secure. secure the funds by virtue of a mortgage or reverse mortgage or some form of finance. If we give her ample time to do it, I think that the lien ought to be paid off. I don't think we ought to involve the city in a 20-year stream of payments at $100 a month. It will probably take $75 worth of city time to keep those records and those so forth. I think the $25,000 is probably okay, although I would probably think it's worth more than that considering city time. But I would think that we would give her 120 days or some reasonable period of time to secure adequate funds to pay off the lien of $25,000, be it via mortgage, reverse mortgage, or some other form of obligation.
I if I may, Mr. Heim, just one moment. I can respect what you're saying, Dr. Bannerman, but not knowing Mrs. Shabazz's financial situation, whether or not she has the ability to secure a loan, that's my fear in imposing that type of order. I respect what you're saying, and I agree with it. But I'm just fearful that she may not have the credit necessary, especially in this particular economy with everybody, even people with almost perfect credit ratings, have a problem getting credit. I'm just fearful that she won't be able to qualify, and then she loses the property, which is her now homestead property.
Forgive me, but credit is not a factor on a reverse mortgage.
Well, I'm not. I wasn't looking at it from the perspective of a reverse mortgage. Yeah. And I know what you're saying also, Mr. Bourne. That would be my fear. For a conventional loan, more or less, is what I was thinking.
For a conventional, perhaps, yes.
There are other vehicles other than conventional loans.
Sure.
But she has $25,000 on a house which is, you know, last year was appraised at $150,000, maybe $75,000 now, but she should be able to get $25,000 on it. $25,000 on a garage, for Pete's sake.
Mr. Chairman, reverse mortgage to some of us is taboo. Some of us don't do reverse mortgages for other reasons. Mm-hmm. I would say, what if you would say 10 years? And at the end of 10 years.
I don't want to obligate the city to a stream of payments.
Well, we.
Where it's going to cost the city money to maintain those stream of payments.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
Robinson, the bookkeeping alone is going to equal amount the amount of the.
Well, let's just go on and foreclose and take a house.
Mr. Robinson. And maybe I should ask this question, Mrs. Shabazz. What do you think her financial position is, and do you think there's a possibility that Mrs. Shabazz can secure a loan within, let's say, 90 days or 120 days?
I do not believe that she can, based upon what I understand. I'm not at liberty to go into her financial dilemmas.
Right.
Right. Maybe if you talk to her, she may want to tell you about that, but I'm not at liberty to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that she can do that. I think that the $100 a month is more than fair. I think the $25,000 lien can be paid by her. I think that if she has the ability to pay it off outside of the 20-year period of time, you can see, based upon her record, that she'll do it. She's coming to compliance with the property. She's coming to compliance with code enforcement before, and she's coming compliance with delinquent taxes. Again, these were enormous hardships that she had to endure. She worked in this community for many, many years as a public person or social worker. She's not running away from debts. And again, if she has the ability to pay this lien off within before the 20-year period of time, it will be done.
How about a more realistic monthly payment?
But, and that is our problem, Mr. Bullens. She's living on the income of $1,000 a month. If she was still in the working sector, I would agree with you as well. There could be a more realistic payment arrangement, but the realistic arrangement is what she has the ability to pay. Within that $1,100 a month, she still has to pay for her bills that come up due. She still has to pay for her water. She still has to pay for utilities. She still has to eat. She still has to do all of the noble things that you and I do associated with living. So even a 10% of the $1,100 she receives is a hardship that she's willing to endure. And again, we're not trying to minimize this. We're simply trying to resolve it in a manner that's fair to the city and a manner that's fair to Mrs. Shabazz as well.
Tony.
The city is appreciative of all the efforts being made to try and create something that would show a good faith stream of payment and so forth. But I guess as I'm speaking with the inspector, something that we realize the reality is, and it's really the circumstance in most cases, that we're just as satisfied if the board would impose the reduced lien, give her 6 months or a year to pay, give her the time period to pay. If she doesn't pay by then we can start reviewing and exercising options. If she wants to pay $100 a month at that time, trying to see what she can do to remedy it and show good faith, then that's fine. She can pay $500, she can pay $50. But the reality is that ultimately, once you grant whatever you're going to grant, it becomes the city's lien, and the city just wants to be left with its options to exercise whatever rights it has under that lien. And I think if we start stretching on these payment obligations, we start limiting the options of the city and its rights to terminate this at some point, or not, and I don't say terminate, that's probably not a good phrase, but to not have us locked into a 20 or lifetime circumstance.
And that's what I was trying to avoid as well, Tony. I was trying to make sure the city had an appropriate position in order to recover what is owed.
And I think you've done that, Mr. Stevens.
Yeah.
You've injected a 60-day window where if she's delinquent on the payment of this money to the city, then you have the automatic right to foreclose against the property. It's a property that she's not going to be able to go out and draw out any equity without this body's knowledge. So there's no way she can convey the property. There's no way she can sell that property without satisfying this lien. And it is a property that can accrue the amount necessary to satisfy the lien. So I think you have injected that safety harbor that you desire to protect the city.
My only problem, though, Mr. Robinson and Mr. Baz, is we need another vote. We need at least one more vote and a motion and second prior to that.
Yes.
Can I say it to Mr. Bannerman and vote with 10 years instead of the 20? I do agree, even she said that's a long time. 10 years, and with what Mr. Jackson said, if she's 60 days late or whatever, they foreclose. Apparently, I know in 10 years she should be able to secure a mortgage. But mortgages are harder for some people than they are for the others. That's something we don't understand.
Well, I guess because of the seat that I sit in, not chairman, but personally, I know that the valuation of the properties have been severely reduced, especially in certain areas. I mean, I have three houses myself that I'm losing a substantial amount of money on. They're brand new, and they're selling for less than the value that she stated on her property.
Would the panel consider maybe a balloon payment after 10 years?
Oh, that's
a balloon payment after 10 years of paying $100 per month?
And I think that's what Mrs. Hines was sort of alluding to.
Still committing the city to doing some formal bookkeeping to make sure she's current and to check to make sure she's not 60 days in arrear. And all this city involvement.
But Mr. Jackson just said.
I think that's a good thought. More conventional is about a 5-year or a 7-year type of balloon. Why don't we do a 5-year balloon? I can live with that. And see what she can do over the next 5 years. If she can't remedy it, then we know where we are. Everyone knows where we are. She can work towards that and possibly, again, while we know things are difficult now, things aren't as may not be as difficult 5 years from now. I don't know.
$100 a month for the balloon at the end of 5 years.
But we still want all those other criteria in place that she's not making a good faith effort and showing reasonableness in terms of trying to remedy this, that we can put it in.
How about $100 a month with a balloon at the end of 5 years? And the 60-day default, the stipulation, she falls behind more than 60 days. And any time that the note becomes immediately full due at that time.
Is that a motion?
Is it stipulation for foreclosure?
Yeah, stipulation for foreclosure. Now, this still involves the city and bookkeeping for 5 years, but
Mr. Jackson,
if you representing the city don't think that's a problem, I would go along with that.
Yeah.
Well, because we need the vote, I mean, it's the same thing, except the period is shorter that we proposed earlier.
No, it's a balloon now, 5 years, yeah.
Well, we could still put that balloon on 20 years, but if that's your motion, then we'll respect that. Is that your motion, Dr. Benjamin?
I'll make that motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Bowens. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Please read the motion again.
I'll get something out of writing.
It's the same motion with the 5 million.
Okay.
And the respondent be required to pay $100 a month commencing the 5th of August for 5 years at the end of June 2015. The note becomes, balloon note becomes due for the entire balance.
Remaining balance.
Remaining balance. If during this 5 year period the respondent defaults more than 60 days, the note immediately becomes due for the city's right to foreclose.
How about if the property is sold?
And if the property is any time during this time, the property is any time before the note is paid off that the property is transferred, it becomes due full rent.
Again, that would
Mr. Robinson, I would commend to you the suggestion of that reverse mortgage. Explain the implications to your client, because she would not to have any. She wouldn't have to make any more payments.
Yes, sir. I understand that vehicle, Mr. Bowens, and I will speak with her.
Yeah.
We have a motion and second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor. Well, let's do a roll call.
Yes.
Mr.
Bourne? Yes.
Dr. Bannerman?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes. Thank you all. Do you fully understand, Mr. Robinson, what we've just done, the action that we've taken?
Yes, I do.
And I'm sure you'll make sure Mr. Bass understands it all.
I will, and I will receive something from this panel.
Within 10 days.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robinson, I commend you. I think you've done an exemplary job representing your client.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
I would just like to say to Mr. Bass, the ultimate responsibility is on you, though.
No,
that's all we have.
I'm sorry. Excuse myself. Just
okay. That takes care of the lien reviews. We'll now proceed with the normal cases. Case number one, CED 060997, Beach Fish Camp LLC. Is a respondent here?
It's a compliance 65.
Compliance 65. Thank you. Case number two, CEB 1109200, Downtown Daytona 2000 Incorporation.
That's compliance 6410.
Well, how about that?
Great.
6-4?
Correct.
Congratulations.
Oh, you like old family.
The parking lot is only 8 months.
I drove by yesterday. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
I'd like to commend the city for the work that they did in working with our architect and our engineer. We think that the solutions that were arrived at between city staff and the architects benefit both the community, the Ballow Road Development District, and the membership of the club. And we thank this board for its courtesy and cooperation throughout this process. And I would ask that the violation be dismissed.
Dismissed. It's in compliance. It's compliance, yeah.
I'll take that.
Okay. We can't expunge it from the record, but it shows now in compliance without fine.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gish.
Case number three, CEB 1209224, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated.
We're going to ask for a 30-day continuance. They're in meaningful negotiations for a purchaser of the property.
Property secured city standards?
It is.
Okay. Staff has asked for a 30-day continuance. Do you hear such a motion?
So moved. Grant that they get a 30-day extension.
Moved and seconded that the case be carried till July. For July 8th meeting of the board. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Case number four, CEB 021033, Marsha C. Johnson, R. Fole. Responded here?
Compliance
6A. Thank you. This is on the agenda sheet. So that's here, right, the second one down.
Sorry. Thank you.
We're now on page three.
Gotcha.
My object is to get everything done before Mr. Stevens returns. Case number five, 031042, Krissa Pasolaki.
Pasolakis.
Responded here?
Noncompliance.
Okay.
$1,000.
About it, please.
$1,000 a day with a max at $100,000.
Tell us about the property and why it's not compliant.
This is on Atlantic Avenue at 800. Picture's worth 1,000 words, but the whole thing's been destroyed. And we've been working with this guy for, I think he even came in and offered that it would be fixed by now. Yeah. He hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything?
Nothing.
He was notified of this meeting?
He came into one of these meetings.
Yes.
All right, so city staff recommends a fine of you recommend a fine of $1,000 a day?
It's a blight on the city. It's on A1A. It's commercial property.
Okay. You want to establish a limit or you just want to let it run?
$100,000.
To $100,000. City staff has recommended a fine of up to $1,000 a day up to $100,000 maximum. Do I hear such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Hines. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
What's the effective date then?
Effective today, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Directed to be here. So that's $1,000 a day to $100,000. That ought to get his attention.
We hope. Thank you.
I have failed in my effort to run through all the cases before Mr. Stevens returns. So return the gavel to Mr. Stevens.
Thank you. Are there any members of council who are representing respondents today? I know we have one who left. Okay.
No, he was on the parking lot.
Yes.
He was here just to thank you for our cooperation.
Great.
We took care of that.
And wasn't that number two?
Number six.
Okay. Case number two is...
No, we're on number six.
Oh, are we really? Wow. Which case was that?
Should stay away.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Bannerman, you
stayed out of here another half hour. I would have. Case number six.
Case number six is CEB 031047, Mary L. Curry. That's the respondent present. That's 1097 Mason Avenue, A and B.
Noncompliance. These are the original pictures. There is one on the outside where the outside building has been painted, but he was required to also install heat. There is no permit for that as yet. He's also required to get an occupational license, and I have not seen the inside painted yet. And so there would be two fines. I suggest $50. Yeah, one time for the $250 and $50 per day.
Currently occupied.
There was someone living there, yes. Last time I was there.
Okay, so we can consider it occupied, therefore we're...
It's a duplex, and I can't imagine him not eventually, you know. But it was occupied the last time I was inside.
You're recommending $50 per day, effective today?
Yes.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective today, June 10th, 2010, and a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Barbara, did you want to put a maximum on that? Because that was our policy since the last staff meeting.
property is only worth about $70,000. I would say cap it at $20,000.
Motion to amend our previous motion establishing a cap at $20,000.
So moved.
I have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Case number 7 is CEB 031051. I believe that's Gahanan Incorporated, and the property is located at 1400 North Atlantic Avenue. Hopefully we'll get rid of it.
I'm Mike Patel, 1400 Atlantic Avenue.
Good morning, Mr. Patel. Patel.
We are working on this.
Are you going to be testifying?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. He's going to testify, too.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And I need both your names?
Mike.
Mike. Right. Okay.
We have Mike Patel. Is your name?
He's junior. I'm senior.
Pardon me?
He's junior and I'm senior.
Oh, I see. What is your relationship to the property, Mr. Patel?
I'm brother-in-law. Or the property, what do you mean related? Oh, I'm the owner.
Relationship to the owner?
Shareholders.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thanks. Steve, what would you like to tell us about it?
Go ahead. Let Mr. Steve handle that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Attorney. As you know, I was here last time and gave a fairly long narrative. There you go. So I'm not going to redo that one, but there has been some progress made. On 5/26, I made contact with Mr. Krieger from DEP. The permit was reviewed and completed and out on 6/18. The notice to proceed was withheld due to the lack of a water drainage permit, which should have actually been accompanied with the original application. The stormwater permit's requirement, it's been submitted, it's been reviewed, and it should be approved within the next 2 weeks. We've also been working, Mr. Criswell's been in contact with Fritz Wittstein, the actual supervisor of Mr. Krieger through DEP, because we are attempting to try to get some work done on this wall and this little disaster during the turtle season. We cannot have any heavy equipment on the beach, and we cannot have any storage, so it's a bit complicated. It can be done. Something has to be done because of the circumstances of this particular case. Mr. Criswell has written a couple of letters. We're getting a lot of attention on this, and before I give you my recommendation, I'd like to let these gentlemen have their speak. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
We are working on the seawall, but the permits are taking too long, and I know we're going to be, Mr. Inspector told us there might be a fine, but in 45 days we will have a San Jones permit and going to start doing the construction.
Say that again, that last sentence.
Would you just speak into
the mic? In 45 days you will what, sir?
Put the mic on.
We'll start the construction of the work after all the permits are issued.
You're going to start construction in 45 days? Yeah?
45 to 60 days.
That's to start construction.
Start.
Pardon me, Tom.
Are you saying it'll be done within 45
days? Well, we'll be starting construction. It'll be done in whenever, when the permits from everything is ready except the San Jones permit. And we weren't aware of the permit until the DOT told us that we have to have a San Jones permit. And we were working on it.
Is that rubble still sitting there, like the picture shows?
Yes, the actual initial concrete wall that fell, they did get an emergency permit through Volusia County to access the beach and remove all of the wall that fell. To that point, that's pretty much what it looks like. Mr. Criswell, like I mentioned last time, had two issues that he put an imminent danger on. One was the corner of that top right picture there that was removed, but he also wanted the wall removed backwards 20 feet because it's perilously leaning towards the pool to the north.
Mike?
That, you can see the corner has been removed there. The other issue was on top of the access to the beach, there was a concrete, about a 4-inch by 4-foot square concrete piece that was on top of where people were accessing the beach. That piece right there,
That has been removed also. So we've condemned two pieces. Fairly good compliance as far as the public safety. We're still concerned about the huge wall to the north. It's leaning and buckling pretty much like the one that's leaning towards the beach, except it's falling on top of a pool instead of on the
sand. Steve, when people are driving on the beach, the tourists that we so desperately want, is that what they see?
Absolutely. Hmm. And I have to admit, I know that Mr. Patel, as the owner, probably doesn't get much sleep over this because this is a huge liability. And by talking to the DEP supervisors, the inspectors, other engineers and contractors, the weak point in this whole scenario is a simple fact that the engineer contractor that took over this particular job should have fast-tracked this through. It should have had permits done 4 to 6 months, and the thing would have been done before turtle season. The reason I say that is because we've had three revisions alone on the initial application. Mr. Patel didn't do those permits. It was the contractor. And every time they do a revision, it goes back for another revision. Also, that permit for the water drainage system should have been applied for at the same time. It should not be another wait. So I might as well let you know what my recommendation is. This, we need to have Mr. Patel, property owner, put up a barrier fence within 2 days at the parking lot level on the top. We can't touch the beach. This is turtle season. They made them remove the fencing that was up and put up this stuff here because it didn't interfere with the turtles. Nothing we can do about that for a while. The other thing is, unless they get this permit fast-tracked and done within 30 days, I'd like to see an imposition of a fine of a minimum of $500 per day, starting retroactive today, just to get, make sure that we get this going. This is going on over a year. It fell in May. I didn't find it until June.
So you're recommending, Steve, that we allow the respondent until July 1st, and if he has not attempted to or started rectifying the problem, the fine will be retroactive till today. Is that correct?
Well, July 1st might be pushing it to get the permit through.
August 4th. That's the next cutoff after our July cutoff. Or would you like to recommend another date?
60 days, it should be okay.
I can't do that. Well, at this point, I know that Mr. Krieger through DEP has been pushing the water permit, or the drainage permit process as well. Mr. Criswell has been pushing them, and I'm assuming Mr. Patel has also. I would hate to go to a month and a half, but at this point...
Well, we can do any date that you want to recommend. We can consider any date that you want to recommend.
You can always come back if you can't do it and plead the case. Mm-hmm. And show
if we give 60 days, we should have
said done. July 10th, we can consider that.
When we stop.
Steve, do the Patels have the ability to coerce the contractor to do this? I mean, is it within their capability?
We're going to see the city and the state. They want to talk to the contractor and respond with the contractor drawing and all that.
Do you have a contract with your contractor, Mr. Patel?
Yes, we do have.
You have anything in your contract that says if the project is not done by particular
date? No, after the permits are issued, then you'll start doing the construction, see?
But don't you have the responsibility as the contractor to secure those permits, and he needs to be acting diligently to make sure it happens?
Yeah.
Well, we told him we'd get all the permits first with the drawing and the engineering drawing and the state permit and all that. Everybody's given, before the state told us you don't need a St. John's permit.
Right.
That's what he told us 2 months ago. He said when we talked to them 6 months ago, they don't need the state permit, the St. John's permit. Now they said they need a St. John's permit. I said, why did you wait that long? He said, well, they didn't need it. He said, they gave anyone all around, but I can't blame nobody, you know. He's doing the work. I can't tell him he can't do it anymore. Okay, he's the license, he's the contractor, he's the CEO. You know, he can't rush him. He's doing his job, I'm doing my job, I'm pushing him, but he said they didn't need St. John permit. That's what they told him when we applied for it. Now they said they need it, so he said they took 4 months of our time. Well, I don't want to blame nobody. I'm doing my job to get the city appreciation work done. I know we're losing business. Because the wall is damaged and people not coming in.
Ultimately, the city is the party that you need.
Everybody's getting on my shoes, but you know I could put the wall up without no drawings, you know. But you can't do that.
And we'll make you take it down.
Steve, do you think if we compel the attendance of the contractor, maybe at our next meeting, do you think that would help to expedite matters?
I doubt it, because he's been here, he's listened to the narratives, and he can't be that totally incompetent to look at those photos and walk out the back door of that building to realize the liability. I don't think that's going to do any good. I think he should have been fired within 30 to 45 days after the initiation of this contract. I know that any kind of a disaster like this, a building falls, a ceiling comes through, anything that's public hazard and access, you get media attention, you get people fast tracking stuff, and you get things done. This contractor has not done it. I don't think we're going to be able to motivate him whatsoever. The only motivation we have is to limit the time limit for the last permit, put fines in place, and make sure that the public is safe, and that's about all we can do. Once this next permit is in place, Mr. Wetstein, who is the supervisor for DEP, will allow, under certain tight circumstances, work being done on this location. And it's going to get bigger than just the seawall. He has walls on both sides, especially the wall on the north. That is, it's not in the realm of the DEP, but it is part of this process, because it has to be. It's a 12-foot wall within 4 foot of another pool that's going to go to the north.
Steve, did you ask to have a particular wall secured, or the area around the wall?
Yes,
secured?
I did, and we can't do anything without this next permit. That's what Mr. Chris.
Even to secure the area?
Pardon?
So are you saying we can't secure that particular area or compel Mr. Patel to secure the area?
Yes, the fence above on the parking lot level, where the water drainage permit is in place, all it has is the OSHA perimeter barrier, which is very temporary. What needs to be done right now at the east end of that pavement, a secure fence goes up all the way to the beach access.
Okay. On top of the parking lot or outside on the beach area?
No, on top. You can't
put
anything.
We'll do that. We'll put 3 foot fence, wooden fence.
Something has to be up there to protect people. I would use the term chronic inebriates, but when people are running around, we don't want them falling down the beach and killing themselves as well. That needs to be done within 2 days. And then once this permit is in place, then we can tighten up how quickly we get it done based on the limitations of DEP. And I think the only access he's going to get, he's not going to get heavy equipment on the beach. There's no way. So the size of the equipment is going to limit what they can do. But once that's done, supports can be put in to maintain the integrity of the current wall to the north. And I have no idea how to support that tonnage that's leaning over the beach and the people that are out there. But we're going to have to deal with that once this next permit's in place. There has to be some sort of a pony wall, some sort of an angled L that we can put in place, secured, that's going to make sure at least some support's given to that wall. I have been monitoring the crack that is to the right of the beach access where you walk through it. Initially, when I found it, it was about less than a quarter of an inch. Now, it's, I would say, nearly 3/8 to a half. The center of that wall and the whole wall is tipping. It's moving. There's just no way around it. There's nothing we can do until the next permit is done. So, what was your recommendation, Mr. Stevens? August
I was going to ask, what wall was that you would like a fence to be placed around?
That's actually the parking lot on the... it would be the east end of the parking lot facing the beach, which is going to keep cars from driving over the edge, people from walking over the edge, and incorporate that down to the beach access. So it's kind of like an L.
It will be done by Tuesday.
It will be done by Tuesday. We could do that.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until July 11th, 2010, to come into compliance. Well, excuse me.
This is a fine.
Just. You recommend a fine of, you're going to allow him 30 days, though, correct,
yes,
to secure the area.
Correct.
And if...
Obtain the permit.
And obtain a permit. If he does not obtain a permit within that time frame, are we going to impose the fine retroactive to today?
Yes.
At $500 per day?
Correct.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion. Is that something we can do? Come on. Mr. Gray.
Sure.
We already applied for the permit.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until, I'm going to give you the full 30 days, Steve, July 11th, 2010, to achieve acquisition of permits and
erect a fence around the parking lot on the east end to the beach per the inspector's request and guidelines or specifications. If the action is not taken, the fine of $500 a day will be retroactive to today's date, which is June 10, 2010.
So moved. Moved.
Limit on the fine?
Yes. Steve, do you want to limit it?
So we are doing the work on it. You know,
one moment, Mr. Padilla. It's a commercial property. Keep in mind, it's a commercial property.
Yes. Max at $100,000.
$100,000.
That's approximately, what, 200 days?
Yeah. If it's not done by then, it...
If I could just get a little bit of clarification.
You didn't understand my motioning?
Well, this is the fine is being imposed that you're stating the automatic fine would just be for failure to obtain permit and failure to place the fence.
Yes.
Now, it's not for the compliance date.
No, because he's still waiting for St. John's permit. Well, whatever. He's.
Compliance date as well.
Do you want to set a compliance date, Steve?
Right. Or continuance of this imposition of a fine case for, I believe.
I'd rather, I have no way to put a compliance date on this due to the limitations of the equipment access, the requirements of DEP that are involved with that wall, and once it's done, if it doesn't get started until October, it might take another 30 days to 2 months to get this done.
When's turtle season over?
I believe it's October 1st.
So we should be.
November 1st. Compliance November 1st. That gives them 30 days after turtle season.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Full compliance and full compliance not later than November 1st. Or November 3rd.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Would you amend your motion to have an appliance compliance date of November 1st, 2000?
November 3rd. November 3rd. All right.
Yes. 10.
And I believe that is fair because once the next permit is in place, smaller pieces of equipment can go in there and secure. They can go in and prepare. They can remove the northern wall. So I believe that is fair.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Does the motion include the requirement that the immediate erection of the fence?
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's in 48 hours.
Yeah. Okay. We have a. That was for the no. That's for the permit only. Yeah. The fence should be erected within.
The fence will be done by Monday.
Okay.
Can we do it Monday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't need a permit.
It's multi-layered.
Not for this one. No.
Yeah.
Was it seconded?
Yes, we have.
We
have a motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Dr. Bannerman. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Just a question, Steve. This is a safety issue. Why does this have to wait for all these permits? If it's a safety issue and this collapses on somebody, and we're on record here discussing this for now three months. We're pretty liable, I would think. I don't practice law, but I wouldn't want to be on a jury and with this kind of thing. I think it's irresponsible.
I agree, and to a degree, I also have to take responsibility for this because I should never have allowed it to go this far. When we're dealing with people, I should have limited my accesses to 3 or 4 months maximum and then brought it before you so that this would have been pushed quicker. But technically right now we're dealing with state law, we're dealing with turtles, and we're dealing with limitations on equipment.
Basically, Amy, the motion states that the respondent is to erect a fence on the around the parking lot on the east end to the beach within 48 hours. He has until, or they have until July 11th. 2010 in order to secure the permits and or
no fine,
if
right?
The permits are not secured by that time
the
fine will be retroactive to today June 10, 2010 at $500 per day
with the maximum said you'd have the fence erected by next Monday.
This Monday coming we should have it done.
So we will
100%
allow him
can
until
you do that?
Monday
if you don't mind.
Monday.
Yes, sir. We'll have everybody to Monday.
No later than Monday. Sure, no. What's Monday's date?
It's just this Thursday, so
Monday, June 14, 2010. Again, if the permits are not secured by July 11th, 2010, a fine of $500 per day will be imposed retroactive to today, June 10, 2010. And there was a compliance date of November 3rd, 2010.
Can I ask a question?
$100,000.
What happened?
$100,000 max.
Sir, can I ask you a question? What happens if St. John's don't give a permit by the July 11th, if the error comes up?
You can notify.
Then we're still paying the fine?
Notify him. He'll come back to us, plead your case, and if it's not your fault, we'll give you more time.
Well, we're working on everything, you know.
But we still have to pay the fine, or?
No.
It's not your fault. You tell him. He'll come back. Or you come back and tell us why it's not your fault.
Well, right, currently we don't have it set to come back until November.
We should start on November.
We can also add a progress report. Neil, would you like to do that? What dates would you like a progress report?
Steve, do you want to give a monthly progress
report? I would say absolutely.
All right. Monthly.
July 8th and August 12th. Do you want it every month until at least October?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Stevens, I need to make a last question. Is there any reason why that fence can't get put up in 48 hours?
Well, we got to get two guys to help us.
Material
and all that.
Today's Thursday.
Yeah. Well, you guys are closed on weekend. So I said, let's do it Monday.
Just till Monday.
Yeah.
You said you don't need a permit.
Today's Thursday.
No, they don't need a permit for that.
Okay.
Well, we'll get material Friday, if you don't mind.
Would you check Monday?
Now, currently I don't have a penalty for if they fail to direct the fence.
That's $500 a day.
That's
no. That's if they don't secure the permits.
All right.
Steve, would you like to impose a fine if they don't erect the fence by Monday?
Yes, and I have Mr. Clerk's. I'm going to be on vacation, so Mr. Clerk's going to be there by 4 p.m.
Can we do that, Tony?
Well, we should do all that. That's fine. But if they're coming back on the 8th anyway, do you want to just make them subject to a fine?
Do you want it?
That has nothing to do with the fence.
Yes, we're talking about the fence now.
So you're saying if they're coming back on July, then they can say whether or not the fence was up?
Well, he'll inspect it. You'll give them the deadline of the, whatever it is, Monday.
Okay.
If it's not there Monday, then we'll
the fine.
The file and you can revert back to that day.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
And you can decide on the egregiousness of the violation and file appropriately based upon what they've done. If it took them a week afterwards?
Not a fan. It would be done.
I have comments by 7-11. So you want to make it 7-8?
No, we're talking about
that time?
No. The fence should be, Monday.
I'm good with it. Monday is on a hit list.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll do it.
We will be done before 24 hours for the fence. That's no problem. 48 hours.
Neil, would you amend your order to
we'll do it, Steve.
That
come look at it.
Be secured
Friday.
By July 8th meeting versus July 11th?
Yes, the permits would be.
That way we're not 3 days beyond our meeting and we'll have to wait again for another month to hear.
Right. Consider imposing a fine up to $1,000 for each for the failure to obtain fences that happened and the failure to obtain permits.
Yes.
Okay. Who had the second?
Dr. Bannerman.
Dr. Bannerman had the second. Is there an additional? Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
I'm sorry. Monthly progress.
Yes.
So compliance is achieved.
We'll have the fence put in 24 hours. Sir.
We're going to get to see you guys a lot.
I know.
Come back every month until you got the whole wall problem solved.
One more time. We already applied for the St. John permit and state permit. If I not fall for any paperwork, then we're not going to pay for the $500 per day, right?
If
because
you secure the permit within the period
whatever
that
paperwork
we've given you, you won't have to pay it.
Correct. Whatever paperwork they need, my architect and engineer,
not
they
the
submit.
Paperwork, you need the actual permit.
Because they sometimes they send us the review for the permits. You have to be, they require some other stuff. Then our architect and engineer, they submit back to the dam and they take against to review the plans.
If for some reason you cannot secure the permit, you would notify Mr. Alderman and he will notify us and then we would take that under consideration. But you do have until November
July
11th. I mean July 8th.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, that's July. Only for the state and state zone permit. It's not city's permit, right?
Right.
Because we have to apply after that city permits.
But when you come back next month, you'll notify us as to
oh, yes,
what your
I will
status
contact
is
him.
With the permits.
I would suggest as soon as you get the permit in your hand, you go see Mr. Criswell.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Your help, sir.
Sure.
Oh, you know, 11, July 11th is fine.
Actually, it's changed.
Actually,
it's July 8th.
Yes. The motion states that the you're supposed to erect a fence by 6/14/2010 and also obtain permits, state permits by July 8th, 2010. Or you can be returned for the consideration of a fine.
No, we're actually imposing the fine retroactive to today if he does not have the permit.
I was encouraging consideration of a fine that allows you a little bit of...
Okay.
So you don't have a fixed amount now.
Right.
You just don't know how
right.
egregious the fine is.
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
So they're going to consider imposing a fine at that time if you're in non-compliance with those two items.
If I'm compliant, if you're able
to. Full compliance is supposed to be November 3rd, 2010, or you'll be brought back for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Plus, there's monthly progress reports. And I'll put the dates of the meetings in the order.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks,
no problem. Appreciate it helping. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, I'm just
that's
work.
The most complex motion we'll have all day.
That's hope. You can only hope. Case number 8 is CEB041064, Shanta Saran, and that's 121 North Hollywood Avenue. Respondent here?
They received a permit. They put a roof on. The permit was finaled on 6/9/2010, compliance.
Okay, thanks. What was it? 6?
Yeah, you have the. Okay, well, 6/9, but that's fine.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a five.
That was it.
Okay. I'm going to adjourn for approximately 5 minutes to allow the board to take a little break. 610127, Betty James Sharp and Jeffrey Sharp. Responded here.
Wait a minute.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand and be sworn.
Betty James Sharp.
Ms. Sharp, would you speak into the mic, please?
Yes, I do.
Will Mr. Sharp testify as well? Will he be testifying as well?
If you need him to.
Okay. Good morning, Robert.
Well, we just have a simple case of cars parking on the grass in the yard.
Okay.
I've gone by there, and sometimes they're gone, sometimes they're back. And it's just a question of whether they want to keep them going or whether they want to keep trying to bring them back.
You see all of the cars. My, as you notice, we have a handicap ramp and a handicap van for my husband. My sister had a heart attack January 20th, and she's been at my home. I've been taking care of her recovering at this time. And we've had a lot of therapy people coming in and out, and I've told them not to park there. She's gone back home as of the 28th of last month. We shouldn't be having this problem anymore. I ask him if we can't just put where that white car is parked right there, if we can't gravel it in, and he says we can't do that because I can't park anywhere but right in the front of the yard. So I don't know what to do about that.
Do you agree, Ms. Sharp, that the some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, they did.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance.
So moved.
That's second.
We have a second and motion. It's something administrative we have to do, Ms. Sharp. Just a moment. We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Mr. Chair, is that their property?
Yes.
That red there is not mine. Where that red truck, that's not me. That they do their yard that way too, the neighbors.
So is the red truck on the lot or property of another individual?
Yeah, that's the that's the neighbors.
I see.
Where that where the two white cars is mine.
Okay.
Mr. Kish, do you mean that they can't acquire permit to pave that?
They can park on an approved surface only. Once they have a paved driveway, then that's the only place they can park. They can get a permit and bring in a contractor, and they can widen their driveway with concrete or asphalt.
Okay, they told me that I couldn't do that when I talked to them because it's 6 feet. See where the sign is there? That's
yes.
The beginning of the other people's property. And they said we couldn't put a permanent structure there. It has to be 6 feet from their property.
How about on the other side of the driveway? To the left of that red vehicle.
Yeah, well, that would take up most of your front yard. I'm trying to make it look nice for the neighborhood.
What would happen, though, Ms. Sharp, is if you continue this, Mr. Kish is probably going to ask for a will fine, and it could cost you up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Yeah, nobody's parking there no more.
Is it possible to park on the street, or is that a no parking?
At this time, the police seem to be okay with people parking as long as they leave 8 feet from the car to the center line.
There's a double yellow line there,
yes.
As you can see.
Uh-huh.
From the curve to the double yellow line, it has to be 8 feet from the outside tire to the double yellow line.
And in order to do that, they wind up having to put the other tires on the grass?
There's enough room where if they put two tires on the grass on the outboard of the curve, then they have 8 feet.
Are you going to cite them for putting tires on the grass?
No. Mm-hmm. They've been allowed to park in the right-way grass in that neighborhood.
So that's a solution to your problem.
So can I take and gravel that in, the front of my yard?
You can't gravel it.
What you'd have to do again, Ms. Sharp, is get a contractor. The contractor will pull a permit, and then you can pave it to the left of the white vehicle, not the car, but the SUV. As you say, it may take away from some of your yard, but that's a remedy to it. Or you can make sure that no one parks illegally, which means it's someone's parking on an unimproved surface.
According to Mr. Kisho, you can park parallel. See where those other cars down there parked on the street?
It's okay
that's
to park
okay.
there.
Yeah, ticket you for that.
Right. You can have two tires on the grass and two on the pavement.
As long as you have 8 feet from the side of your car to the double yellow line,
okay,
you can park on the street. But you can't park on your lawn like that. And
okay.
You can't gravel a parking lot. You got to have concrete or asphalt.
If you look at the silver car, it is parked the way that we're trying to
okay, explain. Like that car's parked.
Yes.
Okay.
And you wouldn't be able to park necessarily on the street with all four tires on the pavement because it is a double line, double yellow line, and it would interfere with the flow of traffic.
Okay, so two tires has to be in the yard.
Yep. If that 8 feet
on the street.
From the side of your car to that double yellow line, 8 feet.
Okay.
Mr. Kish, are you looking for Robert? You looking for a will fine or what?
At this time, we were just trying to determine compliance or non-compliance.
How long?
Well, since I got this notice, I've gotten a hold of everybody. I've never been in court for nothing, and nobody's parking anywhere on any grass.
So I think that with her statements and with one more inspection, we can probably put it in compliance before the next meeting.
How about a compliance by 7-1, Robert?
Pardon?
Compliance by 7-1, how about that?
Next month, first of next month.
Yeah. Does that mean I got to come back to court?
No,
you don't have to come.
As long as you're not.
At this time, I'm looking for non-compliance amendment.
The chair would entertain a motion. We found a respondent in non-compliance and requiring the respondent to come into compliance by July 1st, 2010. I'll be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a Motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. We're all set, Mrs. Sharp. As long as you don't have anybody parking in the yard, as we've had in the past, I don't think Mr. Kish is going to have a problem.
Okay. Does that mean I'm having to pay $1,000 a day
for now? No,
there's no fine yet. Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Not unless you do it again, then we'll consider it.
We're basically saying we have the ability to impose a fine up to $1,000 per day if you don't achieve compliance, which means everything that we just talked about.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Case number 9, the CEB 051091, LGF Assets 2008, LLC. Property address is 1660 East Shangri-La Drive. Respondent here. Hey, Dan.
Morning.
What can you tell us about this one?
This is a new rental. They have pre-existing issues on the property. We finally got a rental in there, and I spoke to the acting owner, Mr. Zipper, on 6/1/2010, and also mailed him copies of certified of the notice of violation, because he states he hasn't received them. And the reason probably he hasn't received them is because on the Volusia County appraiser, I believe it states that the address is shown as the property that's being rented.
Well, that's his burden or responsibility to notify.
Exactly.
Them.
Well, it's non-compliance as of now, and I'm imposing a one-time fine of $250.
Okay, I noticed on there, Danny, I don't know if this is just incorrect. It says imposed fine plus one time, $250.
Probably a typo.
No occupational license, so it would actually be the $250, just the $250 that we're considering? $250.
I stand corrected on the property experience's address. It comes to Nostrand and Brooklyn, New York. And when you go on the registered agent, it's not active. So that's the reason why. And we do have a signed green card, came back signed. And he does know the person that's signing for it.
Okay. That is in the record.
Motion by the respondent non-compliant, requiring to commit to compliance by August. By July 2nd?
No.
Or be returned to the board for consideration for a one-time fine of $250.
Correct.
First or July 2nd?
Well, July 2nd is the cutoff.
July 1st.
July 1st, I'm sorry, July 1st.
I thought today was the date for the position of the fine.
Holy, we've already given them that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yep. This is for fine.
Just for clarification, are we only imposing or considering imposition of the $250 administrative fee, or is that...
It's a one-time fine of $250 because it's for occupational license.
Okay.
That's my error.
Okay. Thank you.
What should it be?
$250, one time.
Okay.
Change my motion to finding the respondent still in non-compliance and imposing a fine of $250.
Second.
Administrative fee, isn't it? It's not a fine. It's a fee of $250.
Okay. We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, seconded by Mr. Borens. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none.
Effective today?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks, Dana. Case number 10 is CEB 051092, Rossmeyer Daytona Motorcycles Incorporated. Is this one... This one says compliance or non-compliance.
Yeah, we've been postponing it, continued, because they're trying to evict this person so that they can come into compliance. He's supposed to be out today, so I'm going to continue it one more time to make sure that he's gone.
Can't we find him in non-compliance?
No, well, I mean...
This is one where the whole issue of finding a non-compliance affecting master planning and so forth.
Yeah. It'd be huge.
The attorney with,
that was Mr. Politis.
Mr. Politis.
With representing them, and they've been working with the city to try and get a remedy that would be short of creating such a hardship in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing respondent into our continuing our establishing a continuance until July 8th or July 1st.
The next cutoff. Yeah,
July
we're
1st,
fine.
2010. Is there such a motion?
Excuse me. Shouldn't we find them in non-compliance first?
No.
Yeah, we're asking to continue, not to
yes,
continue.
Oh, okay.
If we find him in non-compliance, it would have an impact on his ability to.
Okay.
And they're trying. They're evicting.
No problem. Right. So simply just continue to the next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay. Chair would entertain a motion continuing the case, amending our previous order and continuing the case until our until our July 8th meeting.
So moved.
July 8th, 2010 meeting or the cutoff date? That's what I need clarification on.
At this time, you don't have an order in place. What you have is only a case before you.
Right.
So we continue to the meeting.
That's right. It's continuing. It's
okay.
Have a finding of compliance, not compliance.
Right.
Okay. I believe Mrs. Hines was the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Bourne. So are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Now, if this isn't taken care of, are you going to support a motion of noncompliance at the next meeting?
Yes. Okay. We gave him the we were trying to give him 60 days the last time, but we ended up at 30. But yeah, we'll go forward with it.
And I believe I saw Mr. Politis earlier, but he didn't stay.
Right. Yeah, he came in and gave us an update, and I mean, he's being evicted. That he signed the papers today. If the man doesn't leave, and they have to take him to court, we'll ask then to see. You know, if there's extenuating circumstances, then we'll work with them again. But they've done everything that we're asking.
Okay. All right. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Thank you.
Carries. Case number 11, CB051095, Franklin D. and Judith F. Myers. Is the respondent here? Both be testifying?
Excuse me?
Will you both be
testifying? I will be testifying, yes.
Okay, will you also?
Yes.
Okay, will you both raise your right hand?
My name is Mitch Myers.
And you're here on behalf of the respondents?
Judith and Franklin D. Myers, yes.
And your relationship to them?
Son.
So you're here on their behalf?
Yes.
And I don't remember your name.
Megan. Right.
Could you spell it for me?
M-E-G-H-A-N.
Oh, Megan? Or did you say Megan?
Megan.
Okay.
Do you want to raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
So help me God.
Steve?
Excuse me. This is a complaint-driven case that came from Ms. Wright. It was the current tenant of the condominium. It had no occupational license. It had issues for electrical, bad wiring, apparently bad breakers, heat, and some peeling paint. I do have two letters. I attempted to make copies of them for everyone on the board, but I wasn't successful this morning. Would you like to have them scan them? This is from Ms. Wright, written to Ms. Myers and copied to a few people in the towers. And this letter here is from forgot your mom's name. Miss Judith Myers to me and the board. I just received this the last time I was here. I didn't have a chance to read it. I didn't even open it. I picked it up and brought it in, so I did not submit it last time. But now that I have both of them in place, I would like to allow you guys to have access to read them.
You want to read them?
Or scan them?
Around and take a survey to read them individually.
Why don't you can just summarize it for us, Steve. You can either read it or summarize it.
Summarize them, yeah.
It's 10 pages.
Just read them individually.
You may want to just summarize it.
Give us a gist of what the letter says, or is that something Ms. Wright can do? Okay. Or Ms. Wright can do it. She's more familiar with it than you are. She can just kind of give us in a nutshell, what she states.
Ms. Wright's issues are with the lack of bringing the property into compliance in a timely manner. And Ms. Myers' issue is the fact that they have not been able to gain compliance because of Ms. Wright's tenancy, or being a tenant in the condominium. As a code officer, I do not want to get involved in the personal issues between the tenant and the property owners. I try to stick with the code. Both of these are basically between the tenant and the property owner. So I will let them speak for their own personal opinions, and we'll go from there.
Myers, would you like to go first and tell us about the case?
Yes, please. Thank you. Is it okay if I read?
Accomplishing compliance.
Oh, this would be non-compliance.
The occupational license is in place. It has not been inspected yet by the city, but it has been applied for.
Okay, thanks.
Steve, is the property in compliance at this point?
No.
Okay, so not. Those things that you list there are still the ground fault detector, electrical system, appliance wiring, door locks, and peeling paint and heating. None of those have been accomplished.
Correct.
So this is a hearing to impose a fine. We've already found them in non-compliance?
Correct.
Correct. Plus a one-time administrative fee of $250.
Correct.
Mr. Myers?
Thank you. Is it okay if I read some notes?
Sure.
All right.
If you can brief us as to what those notes say.
Just the background of the history. I think it'll take about 3 minutes. Okay. My name, obviously, is Mitch Myers, son of Judith Myers. Judith Myers is a 70-year-old woman who has suffered two strokes since January 5th, the time of the original writing of this. We have actually owned that property for 30 years, and she is in the midst, as of this issue that's come up, of losing her home and actually hope to eventually move down here into this property and be a part of the community. She could not obviously make it here due to medical reasons. I am from Illinois. I drove down here for this case to be here today in front of you. I am sorry that I'm here, and my mom is sorry that we're here to take up your time in this. It was not her intent to have this situation go so long unresolved, but to resolve initially. Judith has sent three people in to try to resolve this, and each time the tenant communicated to the party that we sent in, communicated to the landlord that they did not wish to perform the work that we requested them to. For example, we hired Giles Electric to perform the electrical work, which is the one that is the most critical. Jim Utter, and I gave him a heads up on this, saying, you know, the tenant may be difficult. He said, you know what, I can work with just about anyone. And when I sent him in to get an estimate, Jim said, I quote, on 5/24, he told me at 4:38 p.m., I cannot do the work. I cannot take on that level of risk as long as the tenant is in the premise. Now, I don't know what risk. I can't imagine what risk he is talking about, but Giles Electric is a very established electrical company here. That works with company with resolution, and I got a rough estimate from him for about $1,000 to do the work. Judith Myers and myself, I have no financial investment in this at all, except to relieve my mom from this hardship. We do have an intent to resolve this, obviously, and we would like to do it as soon as possible. But we feel that the tenant, and I've been told by people three times going in there, it won't do the work as long as she's there. My hands are a little tied here. I am sorry again. I'm a little nervous about this because there's about a risk of $1,000 a day to this, that's big bucks.
Mr. Myers, did they actually tell you the reason why they won't do the work if the tenant is occupying the dwelling?
He said there is a lot of animosity in there. That's what his statement was.
You, you said he, but you said you sent three different people there.
Oh, the other one, the other two, the other one said, you know what, I'd rather just refer you to someone else. And then the second one said, you know what, it was all reference to the tenant. Can I give you the specific wording that they said? I could not. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
I would like to hear her respond.
Yeah, and
sure.
Ms. Wright can maybe clarify some of this for us.
When I received the call about the first person coming, all he did was give me his first name. I asked, there's a pamphlet that you have here about a contractor making sure they're licensed, et cetera, to do the work. And I simply asked questions that I thought were appropriate for his first and last name and the company that he worked for. He informed me that it was none of my business. I was not the owner, and he did not have to answer to me. I explained to him that I was a tenant, and letting someone in my home, I needed to know who he was. I called Mr. Alderman to ask him, because I wanted to make sure that I didn't impede services, but also maintain my right to know who was coming in and were they a licensed contractor. Mr. Alderman did tell me that I had the right to ask that question, and I think in the second conversation with him, I was able to get his last name. Steve helped look up on the internet to see if he was in fact a licensed contractor to do the work, at which point he, in knowing, I guess, that it was code board violation, did not want to become involved. The next person that came, Jeremy, he was very nice. He was there probably over an hour, maybe hour and a half. He had a copy of the code violation. Mrs. Meyer specifically told me to make sure that I went over everything on there. I didn't have a copy yet. I had tried to get a copy several times from Mr. Alderman, but he had his with him. I walked him through the whole, you know, apartment, showed him everything on there, and even though he does not specifically do the electric himself, he did take photographs of the breaker box, and I have a disc with me, but I understand they can't play it, but he contracts those different pieces out that he doesn't do, like the windows, etc. He, in follow-up with him, said that he had sent Ms. Myers the bid. Ms. Myers said she's never received it. I told Jeremy, I can't think of his last name right now, is it Assurance? The name of the company begins with the A. He might want to send that certified so that he can show that it was sent, because the two parties are both saying she never got it. He's saying he sent it. I don't know. Then the next one, I feel in a matter to stall things. When I was here last month and she was given more time, I got another call for another electrician to come back from, well, there was another one in between there, and Mr. Myers canceled that one, but the last one came back a couple weeks ago to do electrical. He was only there just a couple minutes. I asked Mr. Myers why was it necessary to send a third person when it's already all been done. You know, Jeremy already did the electrical bid, and it was months ago. So to me, the additional people coming were just another manner of stalling it.
Actually, Ms. Wright, I might be able to kind of address that. Sometimes when a person wants to have work done, he or she wants to secure maybe two to three, maybe more estimates.
That's fine, but that's not what he said at all. He was trying to tell me that Jeremy never did the electrical bid, which he did. He was trying to tell me that one was never done, which to me is even worse, because they were notified in January. So if one was in fact never done and just done now in the end of May, beginning of June, it really was already done. So if second opinion is different.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, sir.
How long will you be in town?
I was going to be in town today.
Through today?
Yes.
The reason I'm asking the question is I wanted to know if you would consider maybe contacting an electrician or a contractor, carpenter, whoever needs to come out, and maybe meet them there at the property. That way there's no confusion as to who is coming to the home of Mrs. Wright. And you're there, and you can see for yourself and maybe obtain the estimate of the time that it's done. And then both yourself and your mother will be aware as to what the probable costs are. And it also, I would assume, give Mrs. Wright some type of comfort, because she knows who you are, and you've contacted these people to come into the home. Would that be something that you would consider, Mrs. Wright?
I would certainly consider. The problem now is because of their continued delays. My lease is up in 3 weeks, and she's not renewing it. So
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
My lease is up June 30th, and they are not renewing my lease. I expressed to Mr. Alderman at the very onset of this, I tried to work with them for 6 months with the issues. When Mr. Alderman first came, I had one light on in the heat, and the breaker blew twice while he was there. FPL came and did an energy audit. When they flipped the light at the front door to check the meter running, he got zapped at the front door. I tried to work with them diligently about the issues to no avail. I then finally reported it to Code Board. When Steve came, he witnessed the breaker issue among several other significant safety issues. They were aware of these issues well before I ever moved in. Ms. Myers, at the time of me moving in, was $5,000 behind in her maintenance fees. As a tenant, I was never even to be approved to be living there. Their condo doc state, an owner can't rent a unit greater than 90 days without the tenant being approved. That's this fail-safe. So
that would be a civil issue, though, Ms. Wright.
Right, but
you're concerned that when you leave that they still won't have done these.
They still won't have done it, and they rented it before me. Right before me, they rented it because I have the person's banking statements and medication bottles that were left in the residence. So it's not the first time she's rented it. The tower's management was aware. A realtor who used to be the maintenance man there, Tom Rome, would not even handle the rental of it anymore because of the condition it was in.
Well, let me just interject here a second. You're leaving in 3 weeks, and he's applied for a occupational license.
She has now.
Before the license is granted, the inspector must inspect the property and determine if these items are fixed. And he won't grant an occupational license until they are fixed.
But
once you leave, he won't be able to rent it again.
But she can move back in if she wanted to do anything.
She can move back in herself.
Right. Well, they rented it before in the same condition. So,
if the violations exist, whether it's occupied by an owner or a tenant, wouldn't that still stand? They're still violations. And it creates a safety issue.
Yeah, I mean, violations are violations until the inspector.
Absolutely,
the
yes.
Case that
sure.
So even if she moves back in, she'll have to take care of it, because
right.
It's the integrity of the building. She's affecting people above and below her. She's been notified 3 years from the towers to replace those windows because they leak significantly. There's a mold problem in there, electrical problem in there, things that were hidden that during the walkthrough I was unable to see. I brought this stuff last time, the broken electrical outlets, but I've now endured all of this for, you know, they've been renting it multiple times over in this condition. It was only because I finally brought it forward to someone's attention, yet they have stalled the whole last 6 months of my lease. I'm, you know, been the one who's been living there in these conditions. No heat 5 times this winter.
I can understand that, Mrs. Wright, and unfortunately we can't engage ourselves in that part of
understand.
What you're going through. Well, that would be a civil matter. What we can do is try to compel Mrs. Myers to correct the violations that exist, but the other things, of course, would be a civil matter. We don't have the jurisdictional authority to take care of those. Steve, do you have a recommendation in terms of the amount of a fine?
Well, once an electrician gets in there, in the scope of things, these aren't difficult. The biggest issue is the electrical panel is wore out, and from what I understand, talking to the last gentleman that was the rent or the electrician, upgrading the breakers, rewiring the stove, which has been hardwired by someone, and turn it into a plug, removing the extension cord that someone had wired up above the ceiling to the microwave, replacing the weatherhead electrical for the outside because it's broken, and also GFIs in the bathroom. Those, for an electrician, 2-3 days, you know that. It's not much. The construction, there's a latch on the main door, needs to be replaced. There needs to be sealed windows. And I want to make sure that, you know, we cannot force the property owner to replace windows in the towers. If they start to replace them, then we force them by permit to upgrade them to the current standards. And that structure has been going through a lot of renovation exterior. They did some damage on that crank right there for the manual crank for the storm windows. I believe they even removed one from the outside for some reason, and then they tried to pull that through the wall when they were standing out there working on it. So there's damage to it, but those kinds of issues are minimal. The biggest issue is the electrical that needs to be upgraded, wiring removed, and GFI is in place, and the exterior power weatherhead put on.
So
the windows of the hurricane season causes a mold problem inside, which I have.
Hold on just a moment. Steve, just for the record, do these electrical issues or violations present a safety hazard?
It's, they're working at this point, but when I was there, like she had mentioned, I had showed up and it was cold out. There was portable heaters. And while I was there, the breaker switches blew twice, but had nothing to do with the heat. Had no idea why. But yes, they are becoming very important. It's a big structure, it's getting old, and the electrical panel needs to be upgraded.
Okay. She's moving in 3 weeks.
Is that correct?
Can't even cook in the kitchen in the microwave.
Okay, wait a minute. She's moving in 3 weeks. Our next meeting, our next compliance date is July 1st. You'll be out before July 1st?
Right about there, sir. But, I mean, this.
You require him to come into compliance a week after you leave.
Actually, we're considering a position of a fine today.
And yeah, I know, or a fine certain. Okay, a fine
relating
certain.
Back.
If it's not in compliance a week after you leave, and further, it'd be unoccupied from the time you leave until it is in compliance.
I don't understand why they've been allowed to go from January when Mr. Alderman first came with people.
Is to say you can't live in there now. You have to leave now if it's unsafe to live in.
I thought we were here for the imposition of a fine by the fact that they were notified in January, they've gotten extensions, there have been people in to give them estimates for the same thing already, yet there's been no action, they have done nothing. There's been no correction for 6 months.
Which means he will be fined if it's not in compliance by the first of July.
But why isn't he already being fined for not being in compliance? And I had some enjoyment of the condo for the last 6 months since he...
You're after vengeance.
No, not vengeance, sir. Yeah. But I endured no heat. I have endured cooking in the kitchen on a microwave that you have to turn off all the lights. It's electrical. There were safety electrical issues, which he was given dates, and then he kept getting extensions while I'm living in there.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate the fact that you brought this to the attention of the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's now well in hand. The inspector, the citations have been issued. We're not here to punish anybody. We're here to resolve the matter, and I assure you that it will be resolved. Again, you may have something to take up with the landlord, but that's not our province here.
Yeah, I don't mean it to be that way. What I'm saying is he was already cited. They were already cited 6 months ago.
Not accomplishing anything.
But have continued to be allowed to postpone it, not getting any of the work done.
Not allowed.
Well, we haven't actually put a motion on the table as of yet, Mrs. Wright. We could require him to come into compliance. Well, actually, we can impose a fine effective today until compliance is achieved. That's basically why we're here today.
Right. At the last, because I couldn't get a copy of the minutes from the last meeting, they're not ready yet. But my understanding from the last meeting was that if they weren't in compliance when we came back today, my notes were that they would be, could they...
Fined.
Would be fined.
Yes, and that's why we're here today.
Going back retroactive to this, I think it was May 2nd, something like that?
Actually, they were supposed to come into compliance by June 2nd. It would be returned to this board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, and that's what we're doing today, plus imposition of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
That's right, and they're not in compliance, so that's...
Yes. Well, they had until June 2nd to come into compliance, and that was last week. So we're here now to consider a fine and the one-time administrative fee. Mr. Myers?
Yes. I did not get to the last part of my sentence, but it is the landlord's intent to resolve this issue. As I mentioned, we have owned this property for 30 years. My mom is about to be evicted from her home due to financial reasons because this tenant has not paid over $5,000, and I think that is her ultimate goal, is to not pay rent.
Again, that's a civil
matter. And that is correct.
That should be resolved between the
yes.
two of you in a court of
and,
law.
And all I'm saying is I just want to resolve this. My mom wants to commit suicide right now. She and I go under oath here. She said, I'd rather just have a gun right now and shoot myself.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Myers. Let me ask you a question.
So I want to resolve it.
Yeah. Why haven't you all resolved the issue since January 6, 2010?
Because that's a great question.
Great answer will be good, too.
As you can understand, a person who's 70 years old may not always act in a way, and quite honestly, she didn't have money to do it.
Okay.
And so I am stepping in. I am trying to put resolution to this so that, and at the end, I'm hoping Megan Wright said she would be gone, and I could just get an electrician in there and resolve it with 3 days of work.
Yeah, we would not want you to wait until she's gone. We would like to achieve compliance as soon as possible.
Okay.
If that could be in the next couple of days, that's great.
I will get on the phone and call Giles Electric.
Today we are here to impose, well, consider imposition of a fine plus a one-time administrative of $250.
Mr. Chairman, am I hearing that since January no rent has been paid?
That is correct.
February. I have cut. I send them. I send them copies of cashier's checks made out to her mother's name from the bank, according to the Landlord-Tenant Act, because I, but the letter speaking of reference of the items that are in non-compliance that are safety issues. For him to say that it's because of me that she's been losing her house. She was already $5,000. She had a lien against the property when I moved in that I was unaware of. I found out because it was posted on the board downstairs at the condo association. She's now $6,000 behind. So that all started well before me. If they're so intent on getting things rectified, why is it June and they recite it in January? But they already knew about this years before because the board has been sending them letters, of which I have a copy and had also sent to them. As far as them doing the work now, if I'm trying to pack and they want to come in and do 2 or 3 days worth of work, if I was initially, Mitch and I's conversation was a long-term lease, 2 or 3 years. But he said the condo association only allows 1 year at a time. I wanted a letter of intent because of the amount of the thousands of dollars worth of work and hundreds of man hours that have been put into that place. I couldn't get a letter of intent. I finally asked him, is your mother, what is she going to do, just rent it out at a higher rate after I've done all this work? And he told me yes. So to have someone come in now and spend 3 days worth of work while I'm trying to pack and move, I don't think that that is reasonable when they've had 6 months to do the work that they were already notified and knew before that.
Let me just ask Mr. Myers one more question, Ms. Wright.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Wright just stated, Mr. Myers, that the board has notified you all over a period of time and, that these violations also existed. Would you agree that that is true or not?
I would not. Specifically regarding electrical, we were not aware that
any
electrical issues.
Have you been notified previous to the city's notification?
Door being unable to close.
Violations existed, any of them? any or all?
He's already been found.
No, I'm not talking. That's not my point. I'm just trying to find out if there's a.
Let me look at him again, just so I make sure I answer correctly.
Has your board notified you of any type of?
No, we have not.
There.
Of these listed in here, we have not.
Okay. Steve, what is your recommendation, or do you recommend we find them today, or?
Is that a letter, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, is that a letter from the board that you're holding?
Yes.
You can share that if you like with Mrs. Himes, that's right.
I believe that is regarding the replacement of a door or hurricane proof, but that is not what's been written up here.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with the latch, though, that holds the door that won't shut because it's deteriorated.
Okay. It doesn't have to do with the latch.
Mr. Alderman.
Okay.
What's your recommendation?
I do know, and I have made note, that March 23, no action, owner unable to complete repairs due to issues with tenant current eviction process in place, 3-23. Officer Jessmer at site on at 10:50 on March 23 to give a copy of those previous of these notices to the tenant for a copy. Another contractor was in there, and I didn't talk to him. I've heard, and that's one of the reasons why this was postponed, because the property owner, Ms. Myers, had told me that she had a contractor show up. Then she would call me up and tell me that the contractors weren't going to be there because the tenant was there. So in verification on this last one, Mr. Jim Uter from Giles Electric, I have his phone number. I contacted him. He's a licensed electrician from a reputable business. He stated that he would not complete any work in there while the tenant was there, and I will not repeat why, because it's just inappropriate. But I did verify the fact that attempts were made, the electrician showed up for the estimate and refused to do the work while the tenant was there. My recommendation would be, due to the fact that this is almost a moot point, the eviction is going to be in place, the end of the lease is going to happen. We can force the property owner to get this fixed with or without Miss Wright there. One way or the other, it will get fixed.
Well, the occupational license may be a moot point, but the electrical still needs to be repaired.
Correct. Correct. Yes, the occupational license is in place, but the point is the contractors don't want to work on it while the tenant's in place.
Would you recommend the imposition of a fine today?
For the lack of repairs on the maintenance, no.
Okay, what's your recommendation?
I would... what was the time when the end of the lease was stated? June 30th?
Next cutoff is July 1.
July 1.
One day later. Our next meeting is July 8th.
I would give them until that much time to get this done. And actually, basically, the condominium will be empty.
July 8th?
Correct.
With a consideration of a fine retroactive to back to today?
Today.
Okay. At what amount?
Pardon?
What amount?
I would say $50 per day.
Do you have a cap on that?
I would say no more than $5,000. The work alone isn't going to be that much. It's only $1,000 worth of work for the electrical and perhaps another $500 to $1,000 max on the repairs, latches, things like that.
Chair would entertain a motion founder, imposing a fine of $50 per day effective, compliance is not achieved by July 8th, 2010. If compliance is not achieved by July 8th, 2010, the fine will be retroactive to today's date, June 10th, 2010. And we're going to require that the respondent obtain an occupational license or be returned,
You already got the license.
It's in motion. It has to be inspected.
No, yes.
It hasn't been inspected.
That's why I'm including that.
Yeah, but it's not going to pass the inspection at this point.
No.
That's right.
Correct.
But with this in place, we don't have to consider it again. And also, in addition to the fine, which is retroactive to today, 6/10/2010, requiring the respondent to obtain an occupational license or be fined a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Dr. Bannerman.
Second.
Second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries.
Basically, Mr. Myers, we're allowing you until July 8, 2010 to bring the property into compliance, which will allow you to have an electrician go to the property after Ms. Wright has vacated the property, and also you are required to obtain an occupational license, or you'll be have to pay the one-time administrative fee of $250. Of course, that would be not be valid anymore if the property is not occupied. So,
it would, yes, of course. Thank you for your grace. I appreciate that. I appreciate you working with us. My only concern right now is if the tenant does not move out by June 30th. She has agreed that she will, and I can get that stuff taken care of within 8 days of that date that she moves out, and bring this to resolution, which is what I want to do.
If there's a problem, you can always notify Mr. Alderman.
If he can do it in 8 days, why didn't they do it 8 days after January when they were first? He's getting.
Thank you.
I don't understand why they're getting more.
Mr. Myers.
Yes.
I can understand. I don't know if you would be in contact with the inspector, but you won't be in compliance until the inspector says you're in compliance. So make sure you make sure.
Thank you for that point. I don't know what the lead time is for an inspection, but I will definitely talk to Mr. Alderman. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, and that. Yeah. The motion included a cap of $5,000.
I'm really sorry about this.
Thank you.
I thought today we were here about the fine.
We did.
I did.
I imposed a fine of $50 per day.
But he's already gone over it again. He's just got nothing but extensions since January.
Oh, no, it's not an extension. Basically, what happened, Ms. Wright, was we imposed a fine retroactive to today, June 10th, if compliance is not achieved by July 8th.
Right. So I've had the whole lease of a year with the unit in the condition that it was in, that they knew unsafe issues.
Actually, again, that's a civil matter. We can't.
Right. Yes.
If they don't achieve compliance by July 8th, the fine will revert back. Will start.
Well, it'll be no benefit to me to have lived in a place that was in.
There was a $5,000 benefit in that sheet.
If you're going to speak, Mr. Myers, you have to come back to the mic. But actually, Ms. Wright, that's a civil matter.
Yeah, take it. Can I have the piece of paper there? There is no eviction in process. Okay. The statement he made.
Thank you. Case number 12 is CEB 051098, Janice Woods, 1030 Australia Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Looks right. Like we have no respondent. She was cited for various infractions, but she had cars without tags, parking in the grass. She solved everything, except she still has some outside storage. She started out with a washing machine and several other items. She still has a stack of pavers. You see that? That's what's left. So we can't really put her in compliance. So I'm requesting a fine of $50 a day to start Monday, the 21st of June. And maybe I can get her attention by discussing that fine with her, and maybe she'll move the stack of papers.
Chair would entertain a motion, imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective June 21st, 2010, run until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved. So moved.
Amy. Would we be amending to allow her until the 21st and then
imposing
a fine then? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Robert asked that we impose a fine effective June 21st.
Fine certain commencing June 21st if complies with the chief.
Yeah. Yeah, what Dr. Bannerman said.
So we're amending to give her June 21st, if not auto fine of $50 per day effective that day.
Sorry about the name.
That's okay.
I hadn't given it much thought, but if you want to set a limit, let's just say $5,000.
Six,
max at 5,000, Robert?
Correct.
Okay. Were you the motion, Dr. Vanderman, or we have a motion? Actually. I've asked for a motion.
I'll make it.
Okay. Ms. Himes has the motion. Who has the second? Dr. Bannerman has the second. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion is there's a $50 fine effective June, amending our previous order. The fine would go into effect on 6/21/10 with a maximum of $5,000. Case number 13, CB051099, is in compliance as of 5/13/2010. Case number 14, CB051001, is in compliance as of May 13, 2010. Case number 15 is CB051003, Stephen Klein, 337 South Palmetto Avenue. Is the respondent here?
He was here earlier and then he chose to leave.
Okay.
I would like to just amend to the next cutoff. He has applied for the license some time ago, and he failed his first inspection. So he has an issue with a heating system he has to install, and he just had his permit for that approved yesterday. So we hope that he'll be good to go by next cutoff.
Make a motion by amending our previous motion. Requiring the response to come into compliance by July 1st or be returned to the board for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 a day plus a one-time $250 administrative fee.
Motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Mr. Bourne. Is there a question or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Case number 16 is CB051006, First Bank, Florida, 143 South Ridgewood Avenue.
Compliance 6-9.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Would any member of the board like to take a brief break before we move forward with the new cases?
Okay. Let's move.
If there are respondents present, and if you'd like to come up to the podium one at a time, we can take you that way.
Is there anyone here for 245?
That's 245?
I'm just asking if there's anybody. 245, anybody?
245 North Halifax Avenue. No?
No. Okay. Go ahead. You guys first, and then who's left?
What is your case number?
Just so they can put the 6 9 0 6 10 1 24.
Case number 32.
32.
Case number 32 is CB0610124, Bright Beginnings Academy LLC, 910 Bubble Road.
Morning. Good morning. I'm Carly Lucia.
Bill Lucia. Yes, ma'am.
Robert, what can you tell us about it?
How are they related to right now?
Husband, wife.
Your what?
She's my wife.
So how are you?
What
is yours?
I own the preschool.
Right,
yeah, we own the she owns the property.
Okay. The issue here is that he's got illegal signs in the form of color flags. And I discussed it with him on site back in March, and we've had a discussion since then, and it went further to the notice of violation, and then he got his notice on paper 5-5, and then the flag is still there.
What was the last name? Was it DeLucia?
Lucia.
Yes.
Lucia.
Lucia. Okay, thanks. Mr. Lucia, what do you...
Well, we received site plan approval from the city on 10-6-09. We had bought the property. It was the old church. And we converted the property into a preschool. with tenants there now and the church. With our site plan approval, there were existing flag bases there, and the site plan approval kept the flag bases, and it was approved by the city, and I've got the approval site, the approved site plan, which shows all the flag poles. And part of the our business plan when we bought it was the fact that it had existing flag poles, and it was, you know, it was something that we could use for advertising of the preschool. We then were told that it couldn't be any sort of a signage on it, so our preschool colors are the colors of that, so they became logos of the preschool. The city ordinance reads, or what we've been violated on, is Article 18, Section 6.6A, 8, which reads, pennants, twirling signs, swinging signs, and other signs which move in the wind. The definition of a pennant is a nautical, long, tapering, usually triangular flag used on ships for signage or signaling or ID. A flag or emblem similar to the shape of a ship's pennant, a flag that symbolizes the championship of a league, especially a professional baseball league.
Mr. Lucio, let me interrupt just for a moment, if I may. Where did you get that definition from? Was that from a dictionary,
Webster dictionary.
Or was that from city code?
Well, it's from the Webster Dictionary.
Okay. Did you also look at what a pennant is defined as under the Land Development Code for the City of Daytona Beach?
No, I did not.
You might want to consider that. The definition may be a little bit different. Mr. Jackson, you got a definition?
I'm looking to see. I don't know if there's a definition or not. I don't know if the inspector's already taken a look. Or, I don't know.
Can I ask a question? How many flags do you have?
I think there's 14
okay.
total.
In there states that you only can have three.
Well, there.
And then I believe it states that it can be one American flag, two.
Well, can I ask? I mean, we went through all the proper procedures, and we got our building permits, our site plan approvals, and you know, we clearly stated that we were going to keep the existing flagpoles. We spent money on rehabbing the flagpoles. You know, and the flagpoles. You know, the purpose of a flagpole is to hang a sign or a flag. And they are corporate, that's our corporate flags, is the multicolors for the preschool. We spent, you know, $2 million on construction of that building and the rehabilitation to bring a non-compliant, almost condemned buildings into compliance. I think they're a very nice addition to the city. We've created, you know, 40 jobs there.
We appreciate that also, Mr. Lucia, but I think that the problem is not with the building or the reconstruction of the building. It's a matter of whether or not we're in compliance in terms of the number of flags and or type of flags that are being displayed out on the property. If I'm wrong, please correct me, somebody.
Well, we would just like to have a definition.
He says only three are allowed, one of which can be an American flag, and you said you have 14. I don't think the problem is the existence of the flag poles. It's the fact that you're flying or, you know, displaying those flags. Would that be fair, Danny, Robert?
The also another thing is when erecting these flags, they have to get a permit to have it installed properly.
Well, we did get our... With the site plan approval, though, you know, it's been approved.
Yeah, I would just like to say that the poles have been approved as the flags.
Right. Okay. Would you explain to him, Robert, exactly what the violation is?
National flag on each of those poles, right. Rather than just those blank flags. If you wanted to go get real national flags, if you had that, then the American flag has to be the highest, and the poles you have there, they're all the same level.
Well, the one that sits in the back is not. It's a couple inches higher because it sits on the base.
Yeah, but
we measured it.
The whole flag's got to be higher than the other nations.
Okay, but we are also allowed to have business logo flags.
You can have one business logo and you can have one open flag. That's it.
Is there an appeal process so you can go through to
a variance board?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can go to the variance board.
He can go through variance. He has to invest time and money, and his chances aren't very good for getting approved, but he can go through that process.
Was this filed as a complaint
by somebody?
But I mean,
in the meantime, he's in violation. You would need to take a complaint.
It's been something that the children love. I mean, it's a landmark location for the preschool.
Did anybody else complain, or was it just you picked it up on a routine inspection?
I've had several complaints through City Hall, but I didn't document any of them.
Through City Hall?
Through City Hall. Like, I've had different staff members say they've had complaints for the flag company.
Mr. and Ms. Lucia, do you agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
I don't agree that there was a violation.
Based on what is presented, do you agree that there was the violation existed at the time of notice? We're basing this on city code.
I believe the opinion of him was.
Chair, when
I agree to that,
motion.
But again, we went through.
This is just an administrative matter. Okay.
You don't agree that a violation.
No, I do
your
not.
Opinion, you don't agree that a violation exists.
No, sir.
But based on the current knowledge that you have now, based on considering city code, do you agree that the violation existed?
I would like to know what the definition of a pennant is to the city.
Did we find
before
it
before I say that?
No, we don't have a separate definition in our code. However, I think that the definitions that. Would not be anything close to what we see there or the purpose of the sign code as it's clearly defined. I mean there's several items for this purpose, but in general it's to reduce hazardous situations, to enhance attractiveness, to permit signs that are appropriate to the zoning. To curtail the size and number of signs, sign messages, and the minimum reach would be necessary to identify a business location. The issues that we typically encounter in science and what we typically try and enforce or modify or restrict as not only this city but municipalities in general is circumstances that's going to cause undue or excessive attention, anything that's moving or in motion, those that would be excessive in number and in size and in terms of necessity for identifying. It's something that's clearly regulated. It's regulated by its definition of pennants, of things that move in the wind, of blowing things, mm-hmm. and whether it's the shape in the triangle or shaped in the rectangle, it's something that's placed in motion in a fashion that's creating excessive attraction to the site. Mm-hmm. I understand your point and understand that it's a benefit of advertisement. Of course it's a benefit of advertisement, and probably much of the complaint is those other businesses that want to advertise by waving banners and showing balloons and doing the other things that would move in the wind. And that's the competitive advantage that happens in various districts, especially business districts, as in competitive signage. And so, I understand this point, and a variance would be the way to go if he believes that somehow he has an undue hardship that makes it right or appropriate for him to be able to step into a realm that's going to create the excessiveness of identifying material that he's using now.
Yeah, but we're
the bare flagpoles would be less attractive than flagpoles with flags on.
Well, I understand. I'm saying that, and I hadn't looked at the what was approved or what was intended to be approved in the site plan. But I don't believe that the site plan would have been intended to approve.
Yes, sir.
Approved various flag poles. The inspector tells me he believes that it didn't approve poles. I hadn't looked at it, but in any sense, what it didn't approve was additional signage. And so, adding the fines would be additional
sign. And both inspectors, Mr. Garcia and Mr. Kish, have also stated that they've exceeded the number of allowable signs mm-hmm. or pennants on the property anyway, so that in itself is a violation.
I would agree.
And so we had it.
We did have a sign up. We had two signs for summer camp.
Hold on a moment. Let me hear Ms. Himes.
I was just going, Mr. Jackson read something some time ago. We had our issue about the flags.
That was my case for it.
Okay.
And Morris, they put up all the flags. It must have been about probably about the same.
Yes.
All removed.
Yes.
And they could not get a permit for it. That's why I don't understand how they did so many. And maybe just for the poles itself, but not the flags.
Yeah, but I think we're missing a statement previously. Too. Yeah. I mean, we're calling them signs. They're blank flags. There's a sign, again, definition of a sign.
Well, pennants or signage.
Well, a sign is something that indicates a fact or quality.
Flag poles, and now not nothing but flag poles. So you approved the flag poles. What's the purpose of a flag pole? They didn't put a flag on it. You see, you approved the flag pole, and now says you can't put flags on it. That's, I think we've done them an injustice.
Okay, well, then if we speak to that, I guess we speak to the flag pole from the perspective of putting those things that have been approved, such as the American flag. Putting all types of multicolorations or other attractive attention devices on the flagpole is not what would have been approved.
But our corporate flag is one of the approvals that you have, and those multicolors are corporate flags.
Mr. Lucia, do you agree that, well, based on both inspectors stating that three flags are allowed, that you have exceeded the number with the number of banners or flags on your property?
Well, that's a tough question because 14 flagpoles
were allowed. How many do you have? How many
do you have? As many flagpoles that were approved.
How many do you have?
14.
Okay, so that, would you agree that that exceeds the allowable number of three flags or signs?
Yes, 14 is more than three.
Chair would entertain a motion found in responding to noncompliance.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second? Can we revisit that? No second for noncompliance.
No, if you don't have noncompliance, you're not going to have a violation. But that's up to you guys. You're calling on for noncompliance based upon your consent. I'm calling on for noncompliance based upon what's been presented.
Right.
But in any sense, it's
which is the land development code.
The determination that's to be made by the code board.
All right. If we're going to have this much discussion, we probably should amend to the next cutoff and bring more city staff.
I was thinking together with Holly Miles, and she's got more on this flag issue, and the building official, Mark Criswell, and come to a conclusion.
Chair, we'll entertain them.
Let's look at the other conditions also.
But that's not something we would have to consider, though.
To join in with the staff's request, I think, unfortunately, I have not had a chance to review or see the effects of what's being presented from the perspective of what may have been approved by planning or intent, and we can submit the adequate staff personnel to address those issues and then answer the concerns that Mr. Bannerman or Ms. Bowen has.
But, Mr. Chairman, isn't the noncompliance is just a
administrative
action that we need to take.
Yeah.
We don't have to take it. The motion fails for the moment.
Chair would entertain a motion continuing this case until our next meeting, Tony?
Yeah, Kramer? That's what we would ask if it can be continued.
Okay, until our July 8th, 2010 meeting. Is there such a motion? Motion dies. Does anyone have a motion? I failed twice.
Motion that we find in non-compliance.
Will that fail?
Or we could put this on the end. I could go down and get Colin and see if we can get
it. Yeah, because we're taking it out of order anyway.
Let me go down now.
Would that be fair to the respondents, Tony?
Yes.
Or Mr. Graham?
Is that okay with you guys? I can get the zoning officer to...
We need to investigate the possibility.
Yeah, but let me ask a question. Why would they have to look at it when it's been approved? Plain and simple. She approved it. This is signed by you. I didn't do it.
But they approved it.
That's right there. That's you guys. Development zone.
That's what he's saying.
Based upon this statement.
No, it's not based.
It's right here. It's development zone.
Those are your stamps.
And what does this tell you? Because you see this on here.
Let me open it up and I'll show you the flagpoles that were approved.
Well, it isn't anything. That's the people who carry out.
May I show this to you?
It could, Mr. Lucia, just be approving the flagpoles, not the existence of flags.
Flagpoles, by definition, are four flags.
That may be. Not necessarily. I can have a flagpole. That doesn't mean I'm going to use it.
But then why would there be a no from the city? When a city
that's
looks at
not something I can answer for you because
you've got the flag. You can't get the fair amount.
That's not my, I didn't review these plans, I didn't make that decision. That's something you'd have to ask the city.
He's asking for to rely fully on the plans that he should be able to bring someone who can at least be able to address.
Right. Then why do we have plans? Why do we have an approval process?
What we're going to do, Mr. Mayor, is bring your case back up. If you all can wait just a few minutes for us, we'll bring your case back. In the meantime, we'll just try to take a few more, a few other people, if you don't mind. Who is next? This is not typical. Yeah. Tomorrow.
11 tonight.
Case number 38.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
38.
We'll be out by 11 tomorrow. Maybe tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
State your name, please.
Lisa Reed. Yes.
Sir, are you going to be testifying?
Maybe.
Let me just swear into the case.
Mark Gage.
G-A-G-E. Okay. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Case number 38 is CEB 0610130, Lisa A. Reed. Mr. Gage, what is your relationship to Ms. Reed or the property?
She is my girlfriend. I live there. Okay.
Okay. What can you tell us, Robert?
Well, we had some of the neighborhood up in arms that they were afraid that Gage Irrigation was running a business out of the house. I went, did a lot of inspections over time. I've seen the garage from the outside, from the inside. There was nothing there indicating they were running a business. But in the meantime, they did have this commercial vehicle. First, they had the earlier there was a the little tractor thing that was there for a while. That was a net thing there. That's a commercial vehicle, and they had to get rid of it, and they did. And then they had this commercial truck that's there sometimes, and most of the time it's not, but it's there sometimes. So that's what they're here for now, is the commercial
vehicle. That's a commercial vehicle because it has some ladders on it?
It has signage, and it has pipes and all that stuff.
Okay.
So that's what we're here for there. Storing a commercial vehicle on a residential property.
Ms. Reed, what would you like to say?
That is there. We have complied with that, which I was told when I picked up the letter or signed for the letter to get it, and it hasn't been there other than one other time to fix irrigation. We've talked on many occasions. He said there's a lot of people that call in. And it's all anonymous, and people are. My thing is that there are multiple commercial vehicles, but it's also that's a personal truck. It's not listed in Gage Landscape. It's listed to Mark Gage. There's other commercial vehicles on the same street that are quite larger than the one we are having the complaint about. And when I talked to Mr. Kirsch about it, he said, well, if I'd like to file a complaint, then there can be a complaint. That's not the type of neighbor I am. We've spent multiple, over the last two years I've owned the property, people that have stopped by and said that the property looks awesome, you've redone the whole yard, you've landscaped it well, to the point that we have people that are stealing the flowers that we're actually installing in front of the property. And I wanted to know if the law actually only exists if there's a complaint, or does it actually exist against the other people also? If that vehicle is listed in Mark Gage, it's his only driving vehicle that he has. We're told it has to be parked inside the garage. Well, we can fit it in the garage. We've come into compliance since then. If it ever has to be there, then we will try to fit it in the garage somehow. I've also talked to Mr. Kirsch, and he's also said that if there are ladders or anything in the back of any other truck, whether it has signage on it or not, that's considered a commercial vehicle. You could take multiple trucks in any residence. It's not if somebody brings a ladder, you're going to write a fine against it. And I said, well, I have people that fix. You know, I had somebody working on my garage door. He was here, 3 to 4 hours on two different days because of different things that have to be installed.
I would imagine, Ms. Reed, that's a different circumstance. Someone's at their home based on the fact that you call them and they're doing some commercial work as a business for you, and they're only there temporarily, that's different than having a resident person who's there all the time. How many times have you seen the vehicle at the residence, Robert?
I've only seen it, I believe, twice, and I think I've documented it, and maybe one other time.
Is this a resident complaint, community complaint, or just something you picked up?
It's several different people have complained.
They called you?
Yeah.
Neighbors?
They say they live in the neighborhood, correct.
Ms. Reed, would you agree that the violation existed at the time of notice?
When we got the letter, yes. I don't know about the times that he actually came back to re-inspect it. That's why I called when I got the letter and informed him that it's no longer there. If he wanted to come out and look at it, we could actually avoid this whole hearing thing.
Okay. Just give me a moment. Chair would entertain a motion found and responded non-compliant.
So moved.
Okay.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Ms. Times. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. It's just an administrative issue we have to take care of. Just read. You have any more comments, Robert?
Well, it's I go by there a lot during the day.
Okay.
I almost never see it during the day. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen that truck during the day. That's like, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock at night or something, crazy like that. So, they just keep it home at night. I don't know what his hours are, but they're different from mine.
When
was
the last time you were by there?
I went by there. Went by there this morning.
Was it compliant with the truck there this morning?
That truck, I didn't see it, but there was there were three other trucks there. That truck wasn't there at that time, and they had left a path to the garage to lead me to believe that it could have been in the garage at that time. But
what were
I don't
the other trucks?
Well, there's their personal trucks.
Their personal trucks. I have two teenage daughters. I have a teenage daughter and a teenage son that drive.
So the property is currently in compliance as far as you know?
From the last inspection, the truck wasn't there, but I can't really say it's in compliance because it comes and goes, and I don't know where the truck was.
It's in compliance now. All you can do is ask for a will find if you're worried about it.
So since you mentioned it, then I would say, I'll go ahead and say it's in compliance because I did see it this morning. The truck was not there, and I'll ask for a will find.
So we need to amend?
No.
Well, that's what I mean. We found him in non-compliance.
Now
we are with the will find.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Gage, do you believe you can park your vehicle in the garage? So we can avoid these situations?
It fits with a little negotiation.
Okay.
Yeah, we got two teenagers with cars, and then Lisa has a car. And, I have the business registered to an office, a commercial office in Longwood. I got home at 9:40 last night. I drove a blue pickup truck home. That's probably what you saw this morning. But, it's just it's late days sometimes, and you drive home rather than... We just finished the Port Orange Police Station and a park there. I mean, it's tough to get a truck to Longwood to come back home to Daytona,
We're just trying to really avoid having any further violations because
right.
It could, cost you economically.
Well, one of the things we didn't want to do is point out the other trucks in the neighborhood, but it's like...
It's almost like we're being
seven or eight
out
easy,
to almost harassment.
What you need to do is call him.
Well, we don't want to drag the other guys into it, and that's one of the things we didn't want to do is drag, they work
somebody's
too.
Somebody's complained about you.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what you kind of say, does the law only applies
because
if
somebody
if you file a complaint, does it not apply for anybody else who's up and down the street?
What attracted attention initially was the...
Was the loader, I'm sure.
The loader, yeah. And then once I saw that, they started seeing things.
So you want a will find, is that what you're after?
I think we'll just go ahead and look for a will find.
Okay.
So that way, then I can just wait for the next complaint, and then if I see it...
$5,000 per occurrence. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent previously in non-compliance, but now finally responded in compliance, and considering a will fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
I'll move.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second?
Sure.
Motion fails. I'm striking out today. I think we're all set then, Robert.
All right, then. So they're in compliance, and
yes,
we're done until the next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't come back. Put it in the garage. Don't come back.
Who's next?
You want to bring these 910 back?
Can you bring it up?
910's coming.
Hold on. Hold on, this is Ms. Lucia.
All right, go ahead and bring the next guy.
Case number.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
One moment. Robert, we put in them in compliance effective today. The Lucius?
Yeah, well, no, not the Lucius.
Lisa Reed. Yeah. Okay. So the compliance was achieved today.
So what do you want me to do?
Number 19? 164 Harper's Ferry.
Case number 19 is CEB 0610109, Toms M. and Ann Zenda, 164 Harper's Ferry Drive.
Yeah, Thomas Zenda.
It's Thomas.
Okay. Sure. Do you need to say I do? I can't be sure I do.
This property is actually in compliance of 6-8-2010, but we're seeking for a will find.
What's the basis for your request, Dan?
Outside storage, as you can see in the pictures and the dates on there, it's happened in the past, back in 2009, and now reoccurred in March 2010.
When did it happen in 2009? That was
August 14, 2009. As you see this picture right here, you can see that there's another one right there. You can see all the, that's considered outside storage.
Same. Okay.
Yeah, but I'd like to explain something about that picture. In 2009, Mr. Garcia came by. He told me that I was doing work on the house was being painted, and I was doing work on the house. I had scaffolding up to get to the point, you know. He said, you can't have that scaffolding up there. It was immediately removed. It wasn't storage at all. I was using it because I was painting my house. And the other, as far as if you can go back to this picture here, had just been recent, and I explained to Mr. Garcia also that during the period of time that he came recently, that I had been taking everything out of my Florida room, getting rid of what I didn't want, and then restoring what I wanted in the Florida room. I know Mr. Garcia is doing his job, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, he's doing what he's doing. But it seems to me that every time I make a move around my house, I have people coming on my property claiming that I'm doing things and just leaving stuff around. Since Mr. Garcia came and told me to get rid of all, you know, or relocate it or whatever, and told me where I could place it and where it wouldn't be in violation, I applied as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, not that I'm laying a sob story on you or anything, but since the time that Mr. Garcia came, my mom had gone, she was on life support system. So the time lapse for me to get it all cleaned up, I was preoccupied because my sister was refusing to take my mother off life support, well, and I was contending with that.
Well, he's found you in compliance now, Mrs. Zinder.
Yeah, I mean...
I did a re-inspection yesterday. I spoke to him on the property. Found him in compliance, but I explained to him that a will find will be put in place because of the previous complaints.
Yeah.
Keep your fingers crossed, Dan.
I agree with you. I agree. I mean,
no. Chair would entertain a motion. Find and respond in compliance as of June 8, 2010, and requesting a will fine for future occurrences at the rate of $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
I'd like to ask one more question.
Hold on.
All right.
Better keep quiet right now.
Oh, okay, sure.
Motion fails. Yeah, keep your fingers crossed, Dan. Failed. No will find.
No will find. Really?
That's twice.
Can I have the president of homeowner association come forward?
Maybe I misunderstood.
We were.
$5,000
per occurrence. Up to, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, it's up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Okay.
I think we're all done.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I didn't understand it.
They didn't put a loop on it. Very simple.
Twice. Good morning.
Good morning.
What case number do you have?
21.
Case number 21 is CEB 0610111, Joseph L. Johnson and Trezell E. Johnson. It's 1043 Alice Drive.
Joseph Johnson. I do.
Vicki, what can you tell us about it?
The property owner was first notified in March, and there has been really no change that's noticeable. There's still, last time I was by was Thursday, and all of this, the junk vehicles are still there, all of the storage materials are still there.
She said the last time she was by was Thursday. If you look at the first pictures, you'll see that it was four vehicles there. See, it was because my mother died and she left us the house. That's how all the stuff get there. The first vehicle that was furthest out, that was her car. The vehicle that, then you see the Bronco. So I had the Bronco and her car removed. And then there was a station wagon behind. I had that removed last week sometime. And all of the exterior stuff like the her bed and all that stuff. When I came, I had to take everything out of the house. The house was a mess. So that just was stuff that I had there at the time. But now, if you go by there today, even if you go by there today, then you can go by there today, and you'll see that there's nothing there but the Jaguar.
And is that's that the license, Mr.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
The Jaguar is licensed, Mr. Johnson?
I'm in process of getting that license now.
That's part of the violation. That it's inoperable and or it's untagged.
It was licensed under her, but she's deceased, God bless her, dead. So it's like I'm trying to get it switched to my name now.
Okay.
You wouldn't have any problem having that license and all the cars gone by the first of next month, would you?
No, sir. All the cars are gone except for that one. The black car is the car.
Non-compliant, requiring responding to committee compliance by July 1st, be returned to the board for consideration of fine of $1,000 a day.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Mr. Johnson, we've allowed you until July 1st to come into compliance.
Yes, ma'am.
They're with him.
Let him know the fine if he's.
Basically, Mr. Johnson, what we've done was we've allowed you until July 1st to get everything done, come into compliance. If it is not done, we'll bring you back and consider a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Okay. I told you.
And if you have any questions or problems, just notify Ms. Linkford. We're going to go back to case number 32, which is CEB's 0610124, Bright Beginnings Academy, LLC. Respondents have been sworn. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I do.
Can you say your name for the record?
Mark Criswell. What we have at issue here is a case whereby there's a failure to remove color flags prohibited by pennants and signs. The respondent has noted that they believe have 14 flags.
Yes, sir.
And the inspectors, two of which, Mr. Garcia and Mr. Kish, have stated that they're only allowed to have three. On the property, the respondent, Mr. Lucia, said that he was approved to have the flags, and there was some question as to whether or not that was allowed and or approved.
The Lucia's went through the site plan process to convert, you know, the buildings into a daycare and a the
church
church facility. Okay. The poles were there prior to that. They were existing. So when it went through the site plan process, it shows existing flag poles.
Right.
And it was approved as such. As far as the code goes, unfortunately, I'm not as versed as Ms. Miles is with the zoning restrictions, but I guess the question before you is, are these flags or are these pennants? And if they are flags, how many they're allowed to have? If they're considered to be pennants and a type of sign, then they're prohibited. So the poles could stay, but the signs would have to, or you know, the pennants would have to go, and they would be permitted to have as many flags as is permitted by the code,
which would be three.
Okay. So I guess that's where we're at. I think there was a, you know, a case a while back, you know, where there were American flags on these on poles,
right,
at another place, and
yes,
there was a big publicity issue when we told them they couldn't have the American flags, and you know, came back to kind of look unfavorably on the city. So, you know, I just offer that.
I believe is there one American flag?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I was trying to state also, Mark, until the respondent was, yes, the flag poles are allowed, but they're not allowed to have that number of flags, color flags. And I think Ms. Lucia had a misunderstanding with this site plan that said, yes, the flag poles were approved.
Well, I agree with you, sir. You know, although the poles themselves were shown on the site plan,
yes,
and the site plan was approved, it was existing. As far as the actual number of flags, I think probably what you're going to have to do is conform to, you know, what the code allows per property, which apparently it says here, what's the number?
We don't have a number for that.
Section 6.5, and I could help with reading there. He's looking at Article 18, Section 6.5, subsection F. Which says that the following signs may be erected or altered in any district without a permit provided all other requirements are met. Flags, emblems, or insignia of any nation or political subdivision, one welcome flag, and one corporate flag. All flags shall be displayed from a permanent structure or flag pole. Flag poles must meet wind load standards contained in the building.
All right, so if you look at that, it says you can have a welcome flag, you can have a corporate flag, and then you can have flags of you know, any nation. So, I mean, if you want to...
Well, what if we
put
consider
a bunch of
Bright
national
Beginnings...
flags up there?
Well, Bright Beginnings Academy Nation and the multicolors.
Well, but you'd be allowed one of those. And then one, perhaps, state flag, a national flag.
But what do we do with the flag poles?
Did
I mean, we have
the flag poles can stay.
But
did
they're
you
more
spend any money on those flag poles there?
Yes, sir.
So
we had
flag poles were approved by the city.
Well, the flag poles were existing.
Yeah, and but you approved them to stay there. Then they went and spent money on the flag poles with the intent of flying flags from the flag poles.
Yes, sir.
When was that ordinance
I think
passed?
They had a reasonable right to expect to be able to fly flags from it if the city approved the flagpole. And then they went out and spent money on the flagpoles to improve them.
Well, I understand, but the code says what type of flags you can use. So that's the question before you here, is that, you know, they could have a corporate flag, they could have a welcome flag, and they could have flags of any nation and political subdivision. So I think if that
so
is what
they by an English flag and a Scottish flag and Brazilian flag and
I think that would be more of an eyesore because then people, you don't want to draw attention because it becomes a sign at that point. These are just colored flags with nothing on it, nothing to read, no words, so people driving down don't look to see what it's saying or what nationality
and
it is or anything like that.
They put Florida flag?
Yes, sir.
Volusia County
they
flag?
They put a City of Daytona Beach flag, a Volusia County flag.
Any political subdivision.
Right.
I don't think we're standing here trying to be one to take the wisdom of the legislation just to let you know.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the
we have to interpret it. Yeah.
I think the for example, if you compare this to like a car dealership on Nova, for example, where they will put up pennants, to kind of attract your eye. You look over at the pennants, now you see cars. I don't think that necessarily that was the intention here. The flagpoles were already there. I think for compliance standard, maybe we could come up with an equitable solution where every other flag, maybe put up an American flag, a nice Great Beginnings flag, and state of Florida, and a colored banner in between. I think that would take us to 12 of the 14. And
We're not here to cause any problems. All we want to do is comply.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to achieve, Ms. Lucia. And we have to. We are bound by the code, and we can only tell you what the code, how the code exists, and how it reads. And we're trying to achieve compliance. And we can only allow you to do what the code allows you to do. We can't bend the rules.
And we don't expect the rules to be bent. We just, again, if I know when I'm putting a set of plans through, and it doesn't come into compliance, the city will say, okay, that's not in compliance. Please take it off. I give it back to my architect. We redo it.
If I were you, may I suggest this, is before you erect any type of flag, sign, or banner, ask the city if it is an approved sign.
But your own code states that I don't need a permit or to ask to put, this is something I just got. Flag, it says, flags as signs not requiring a permit.
These aren't permits. I said I would ask to see if it is appropriate before buying it.
Okay, well, when we were approved, it all the bases had to be redone. We didn't know at the time that we weren't compliant, so we spent the money to rehab the flagpoles. I understand when you have existing structures that are there.
Yeah, I understand.
This became
your point about the flagpoles, which are approved.
But what do you do with flagpoles? If you don't want me to put flags, what do I put, cars, or I don't know, little kids?
Common
what do I put up there?
Sense would say, yes, you should be able to erect flags. And we're not saying that you can't put flags or banners on it. Yeah, sure.
You want 400 poles?
You just have to put a certain type of flags on it.
Okay, that's fine. Now, what flags can we use?
We have to get nationality flags.
I think we ought to do our business here. And
Chair would entertain a motion, find and respond to noncompliance. And when do you think you can come into compliance, Mr. Lucia?
Well, what is the compliance? We don't understand right now.
When do you think you can take the inappropriate signs, flags, or banners, or pennants down, and then if you're going to erect something else, have that up? But basically, take those down.
We can take them down right away, but what do we put up in its place?
That would be your decision. As long as it meets
code. The code.
Doesn't seem right.
I think you, if I were you, I would go and ask for a variance, and I think you do have a good shot.
But in the meantime, he has to bring it into compliance.
Right.
The chair would entertain a motion found to respond to noncompliance and allow him to respond until July 1st, 2010 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is that such a motion?
So moved.
A motion by Ms. Hines. Is there a second? Motion fails. Lack of a second.
Just so I can state, you guys are the cohort. You can do whatever you feel like.
Right.
But you also have a job to enforce the code.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
If we need this hearing to be more extensive and full-blown, because we really haven't had that level of a hearing, and that's all we've asked. If you don't want to make a ruling based upon us standing around just talking about it, then if we can be allowed to have a full hearing and a continuance to the next meeting, we'd very much appreciate that. The whole question of
is that twice, Mr. Jackson, and instead the motion failed twice.
Can I make a suggestion?
That's fine, but what I'm saying is that code board.
Okay.
Code board is not a legislative board. The code clearly says under section 6.5, signs not requiring a permit, and when it describes signs, it describes flags. So there's no question that a flag is, by implication, is one of the signs in our code. And the elections to say, because to grant a variance from the code board, I think is kind of an inappropriate ask, but obviously it's the act that you have a right to proceed with, and if that's what you like, I can't do anything about it. I just wanted to voice that.
Well, Tony, if the code board grants a variance, isn't that outside of the purview of our right or responsibility for the city?
I don't think you can grant a variance.
The code board is granting a variance, so the code board is still is refusing the act. And that's something that I don't control. I'm just saying that that's the decision that the code board has elected.
Chair would move for a continuance of this case until our next meeting, which is July 8th, 2010. Is there such a motion?
I think the board is trying to say as politely as possible that we'd like this issue to go away.
All right, may I say,
we'd like him to take down
the gentleman here was going to offer a
flags that are allowed, and then the whole thing goes away.
Well, that's well what why I don't said. We let make it? Let him
may
do
I
a
say something?
And let's see what.
What do you think?
Could we keep every other flag a color, and then we'll put a Florida flag, a national flag?
Flag people.
Well, I think Mr. Criswell was trying to indicate what you can actually do.
We have to get all different types of flags. We cannot have the colored flags anymore.
They're more than willing to share with you what is allowed.
Okay, well, what's the definition
what's
of a flag
now?
I mean, I don't understand
that.
I mean,
that's the whole thing. What's
what is your
now,
definition of a flag?
Well, it's not the definition of what a flag is.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out.
It says that you can put up a flag, and then it allows you to do flags of any political subdivision, which would be state flag, city flag, U.S. flag, national flag. Then it allows you to do a welcome sign, and then it says a corporate sign. So typically you could have, you know, those three signs plus 11 state flags or whatever and put those up, and you wouldn't need a permit, and they would be acceptable. If you want to propose something else, then you're going to have to go for a variance, and that means you'd have to go before the Board of Adjustments, which is a totally different board. But in the meantime, I think what the board here, the code board, saying is take them down until, you know, we come up with a something that's compliant.
Did you guys say that?
No, we didn't.
No.
Well, you said that
no.
You were found in non-compliance.
I didn't say that.
Nobody meant, and the motion wasn't accepted.
Right.
So I think what we're saying is
all right, I'll keep my mouth shut, and you guys decide
what
you want us to do.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a motion?
I motion that.
Is there such a motion?
That for lack of rule by the code board. So that's where it leads.
But
okay, what do you want us to do?
Did I get the motion, or was there a lack of a motion?
No motion.
No, there was no motion, but I would like to say then we're going to have to go back to a couple other cases we've done.
Yeah,
because that's unfair. Because, excuse me. Okay, well, I motion for that, but what's going to happen, because I can remember this man specifically stating that he had spent money on those flags that we made him take down. So we need to be consecutive one way or the other. And I don't think it's our job to worry about what they have done. We should look at the code.
Or how much they spent. And
I'm not being impersonal or unappreciative of what you've done.
We have to abide by what the code is, which is the law of the land, the city. So we have to abide by that.
Okay, I'll make a motion. Final response, non-compliant.
Second.
Amended compliance by July 1st to be returned to the board for consideration of fine of $1,000.
Sorry, Dr. Mayor, do you make a motion?
Huh?
Do you make a motion?
I just made a motion.
Okay, can you repeat it?
Basically, you found him in
non-compliance,
Amy, and typical motion.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign.
Opposed.
Yeah, me too.
You made the motion.
I just did it to get it on the board, so we talk about it.
Sorry,
oh, I'll go along.
3-2
Yeah. It doesn't take it.
What did you do, Neil?
Opposed.
Motion fails.
Roll call.
Mrs. Hine?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Mr. Moore?
Opposed. Fail.
Thank
you.
Dr. Bannerman?
No.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes. So it fails.
Okay.
What do we do next? We're done.
All cases?
No, no, just them. And we don't have any other response. Actually, I'm going to have to pass the gavel to Ms. Dr. Bannerman. I'm going to have to leave, unfortunately. We're going back to the 17th. Okay.
How many more cases do you have?
We got a couple.
I have to be somewhere at one, that's why I have to leave.
Okay, case number 17, CED 0610107, Rossnet Incorporated, 245 North Halifax. Responded here?
No, everybody's gone.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Hear a motion for non-compliance. Responded to non-compliance by July 1st, to return to work, consideration of $5,000 a day.
So move.
Second. Move and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Case number 18, CED 0610108, Joseph D. and Barbara A. Daly, no occupational license.
No occupational license. It's non-compliance. Next cutoff. This guy, he applied for it. And he intended to sell the property, so he wasn't going to get it. But then now it fell through. He kept it. It's occupied.
So I hear a motion to find the respondent non-compliant, requiring committee compliance by July 1st, to return to board for consideration of fine of $1,000 a day.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. 7-1. Okay, 19 is in compliance, 20 is we're taking care of. 21. See, excuse me?
I don't think he took care of
20. No, 20 hasn't.
20, I have non compliance, 7-1.
Pardon me, is compliance.
21?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, number 20 is in compliance.
20 is in compliance.
Right. Yes, 6-8.
Okay, and 21 was non, there was a. Non-compliance 7-1, right?
Yes, sir.
22, CED 0610112, Susan S. Kaplan, 1102 Berkshire Road, no occupational license.
Compliance 6-8.
Compliance makes cutoff. Do you hear such a motion?
No. Compliance.
Compliance.
What's your name?
6-8.
Thank you, Vicki. 23, 0610113, Patricia Dennis.
Compliance.
Yep. 24, 0610114, Robert F. Leal.
Compliance, 6-5.
Compliance, thank you, sir. 25, 0610115, Lauren George Miles.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Do I hear such a motion? Non-compliance, next cutoff.
So moved.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, 26 is in compliance, 27 is in compliance. 28, 0610118, Anthony Pomona, 442 Modal Street, no occupational license.
Compliance, 6-3.
Compliance, thank you. 29 is in compliance, 30 is in compliance, 31 is in compliance. 32, Bright Beginnings, we've just taken care of that one. No finding. 33, 0610125, Ronald Elgamo.
Elgamo.
Elgamo?
Mm-hmm.
540 South Caroline Street.
Compliance.
Yeah. 34 is compliance. 35, we've taken care of. 36. 0610128, Janice Woods. That's yours, Robert.
Correct. Right. Barbara, you have any pictures?
For
36?
350 South Seneca.
It's just she has a outside storage to the point that she's having a yard sale for about a month now. And
police issue also.
Yeah, there's several other issues there, but she's got the
police issue.
Yes.
She's done some other strange things there, but we're here for the parking in the yard. She's got trailers and stuff in her yard that should be in the back somewhere.
Junk vehicle, one of her trailers doesn't have a tag.
Okay.
Failure to maintain a clean exterior. Well, she's got the stuff all over the place. Otherwise,
tape around there for it. Stop somebody.
That's kind of an odd thing. I think the tape may be down by now, but she put the stuff out there and just leaves it out all night, and people come up and take what they want. At
she's
one point,
been notified personally. She knows.
Oh, I've talked to her in person. I think the notice I gave her for this, I think I put it in her hand. Although it was regular posting where I meant to put it on the building, but since she was there, I gave it to her.
Chair entertaining the motion to find a respondent non-compliant and find compliance by July 1st and be returned to work to serve $5,000 a day.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's make sure we get her here next time, Robert, if we can.
She might be a ward of the state by then.
What do we do if she's incarcerated?
Yeah.
It worries me. It's a police issue. That's what worries me. Okay, 37-0610-129, Brandon and Ashell Burgett.
Ashley.
Okay. And that's parking in the yard.
Yeah, they just have a pickup truck that can't always find its way to the paved driveway. And they've got outside storage of some cinder blocks, but I'm confident they'll be good next time around. So non-compliance next cut off. Yeah.
Hear such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Okay, down to 39. 38 was in compliance. 39, Constance McMillan. And this is 900 Vernon Street, failure to repair damaged roof. That's yours also, Robert.
And we're just going to say non-compliance for damaged roof, next cutoff.
Can you have it by next cutoff? The damaged roof? Generally?
Well, she could get that fixed anytime, but hopefully she'll have it fixed by next.
Okay,
year.
Do we hear a motion for final response? Non-compliant and requiring committed compliance by 7-1. Will be returned to the board for consideration of $5,000 back.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Is there any miscellaneous business?
Yes.
Amy has miscellaneous business.
I received yesterday an email yesterday afternoon from Mr. Jones. He has resigned effective yesterday.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
So that's the.
That's Tad?
Yes. I have a copy of the resignation.
Oh, my goodness. You told Larry about this?
Yes. He was going to bring it up after miscellaneous business after the meeting. So.
That's a point. Okay, we need to ask the city council to appoint another one.
Right. I'm
going to
forward this to Betty Goodman.
Okay.
And he
promised,
so he'll be looking for any other applicants.
You want to do an update on the workshop? We've got two of them coming up. Next Wednesday night is
the City Commission workshop.
City Commission at 4 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
In chambers?
Yes, right here.
Here?
Good. We'll be doing the initial presentation for the code stat. So the chief wants to put on a code stat like Comstat, and we'll have
is it
the paperwork.
4 o'clock, did you say?
Here?
Yes, sir. During the
chief's going to do that, a code stat?
No. The chief wants to start a code stat, and next Wednesday, during the workshop, he's going to have some information about it, and we're going to have a brief little example of what it's going to look like.
How's it going to be different from what we do?
The code stat? No, the code stat is going to be like a comp stat. It's going to be for the citizens can come in and just see. I think we're going to do it monthly.
We're not going to have any respondents there. Just going to be
it's
code
off mapping.
Reporting, right?
Yeah, it's just the mapping.
Violation.
That's all it is.
Yeah, okay. That's good. And he's going to present that at next Wednesday night's meeting.
Yes. Well, the chief won't be here, though, sir, but
somebody will.
Yes.
And how about the workshop in Orlando?
Next week? Oh, no, that's the conference.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, the conference, like it's Saturday.
That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week.
The city's agreed to pay for the entrance, the registration fee, but not providing transportation.
Right, correct.
Did anybody sign up for it?
Mr. Harrington signed up by leaving the land the night before.
Take good notes for us, Neil.
I will do that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Besides the headache, I have a question. What do we just do with Bright Beginning?
We didn't do anything.
That's just it. Are we really, I mean, if code goes out, and I'm going back to other cases, to me, we have set the precedent here that's not really good. You know, we judge on one violation, then come another one, we don't do anything on them. And we go back to how much money they spent, and I just don't feel that's our problem. I thought we were here to enforce the code. If I'm wrong, somebody please tell me. I have a headache behind this today. You know, it's just...
I think the city misled them when they approved the flagpole, and then they went and spent money on it. I think the city misled them.
But this is what the other man said too, and I think we should have let the city work with that. We're not setting two different standards here. Really, I mean, we're saying one man, he's just going to impact what.
Yes, thank you very much. You're leaving before we adjourn. We may do something official.
Oh.
Adjourn.
Okay, thank you.